B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to run.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, on a Thursday. And basketball goes into the All-Star break. You know, this is not something I usually do. As you know, we have Andrew Schalchun is producing today. He knows it better than anybody. We both have the same Sixer warm-up on today, and I never do that. But last night's win was so significant for me, and I got so carried away with it, and it was such a monster victory, that I had to go sport the Sixer colors today. And as you know, I have the USA hat on today. So while I'm making America great again, I'm also paying tribute to the Philadelphia 76ers. So here we are. We're off and running. And so I have a few observations of that game last night. What Joel Embiid did last night was pretty spectacular. And that's the obvious talking point for today. The play that he makes to tie the game with a three-point shot, I don't think that anybody who's ever played center in the league could have done that. Ever. Ever. Okay? There's nobody that's going to see the play broken down and go, okay, everybody's standing around. I guess I got to backtrack with the dribble, get to the three-point line, and with a guy kind of in my face, make a three-point shot. Now, you find me a center who is ever capable of doing that, and I'll say, it must be another planet then, because there has been none. And the great Wilt, and the great Shaquille O'Neal, and the great Abdul-Jabbar, and, you know, any center that you can think of to come down and play, nobody's making that play. So I always go back to this, these people that hate the process, right? And listen, I understand it was one game. I get it. And I'm not the type to go overboard. And I'm not going to say that he's better than Wilt or he has the chance to be the greatest player in Sixer history, because so many miles have to go by before we even get to that point. But we're looking like at the game last night and what he does to rescue that team should have been beaten last night. The Utah Jazz controlled that game the whole time. Everybody's watching the game. Utah's better. That's what people were saying. And they're bought. They made 21 threes. You know how difficult it is to beat a team who makes 21 threes at almost a 50% percentage? It's almost impossible. Somehow the Sixers win the game because they had the best player on the floor. And that's Joel Embiid. So let's go back to the process now. All you unprocessed people. I hate what they did about that. No process, no Embiid. No Embiid, no chance to win. No chance to win, the greatest player in Sixer history. So there you go. Stick the process in your nose. Because I loved it.
And here we are.
Yes. Now, let me get to another matter here. Big hate that I have is when people say, like, Rudy Gobert is the defensive player of the year. I hate the fact that people look at big centers who only block shots and say they're a defensive player of the year. Anybody who's 7 foot is going to block shots. That doesn't make him a defensive player of the year. And what you saw last night was the biggest fallacy of making a center the so-called greatest defensive player in the league, because he got his ass beat by Embiid on every stage of the floor other than rim protecting. He couldn't guard him all night. He got humiliated all night. He got bodied around. He got beat off the dribble. He got beat to the basket. If I'm a voter, I look at that game, I go, there's no way he could be a defensive player of the year. After that, I don't get it. I do not understand this. Well, big man, they were rim protectors, so they'd be defensive player of the year. They can't guard straight up. And Gobert can't guard straight up. And Embiid took his lunch last night. All right, so now let's look now at the Sixers and where they are. Because it's easy to get carried away with a win like that. And it's easy to say, oh my God, look at this. They don't need to do anything. They do. They still do. Because last night, if you noticed, early in the game, he had an all-bench unit. He had the second unit out there. And they were awful. They just really struggle. Unless he mixes some bench guys with starters, they're not going to get it done. And so you would like to have a little more comfort, a little more reliability coming off your bench. And in fact, when he did that in the second half, all of a sudden the bench came alive. Dwight Howard gave an effort that I didn't expect. Shake made some shots. Scott made a couple shots. And Korkmaz threw in his usual six to eight in 74 minutes of play. But the Sixers are in a position where they're good. They're not over the top going to win the East good yet unless they make a deal. So we'll talk about that all day. We have other things to talk about as the Phillies are going on. One other quick thing. Donovan Mitchell gets thrown out of the game last night. I was watching Stephen A. earlier today and saying, who the hell's an official think he gets thrown Donovan Mitchell out of the game? Well, Donovan Mitchell had two technical fouls, right? So you get the first technical foul, you can't F-bomb the official or you get thrown out of the game. And Donovan Mitchell has a lot of cooyuns complaining after the game about the officials. When his team bellied up, they had the game won several times. They're the ones that didn't win the game, not the officials. They made 21 threes and still managed to lose that game. So I know he's just like trying to take it out on somebody else. By the way, you also had 34 shots last night, Mr. Big Time. And I'll say one thing about the officials. As you know, I don't get carried away with them. The calls even out. They could make a foul call on, frankly, every possession. So you get what you can, and you get the best officiating you can. I will say this, though, that with the officials, they have to put up with players today in this day and age. These players complain on every single call. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be a foul. It could be 3 freaking seconds. It could be a travel. They bitch and moan after every call. So if I'm an official, for me not to have the red buttocks, I got to really have a lot of patience. And I guess that guy at the end said, I can't take any more of this guy. And so he throws him out of the game. So on that note, Andrew Salchun is the hardest working man in show business. Is double dipping today. After producing the Anthony Gargano show, he is producing today's show. Tyrone, some needed days off. Andrew, how are you today?
Thanks
for hanging around, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, and then we had the same idea with the Sixer pullover.
Yes, of course. I mean, listen, it was a big day last night. You got to celebrate the big win. Let your fandom come out a little bit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, listen, that was a monster win. That was not expected. I gotta be honest. It wasn't even expected to the last possession of the game because I thought Conley's runner was going.
I thought that was going in too. But everything all of a sudden started working their way. Like Dwight Howard, for crying out loud, hit a damn 3-pointer.
Yeah.
Right? And
then you go, what the hell?
That was one of those, no.
Well, see,
all right.
See, that's the thing, though, because you know you're not going to get that every night from a guy like Dwight Howard. You're not going to get some of the bench contributions they had last night. So that's why they need another player at least.
No, they do. But my biggest thing is, and I talked about this earlier today with Anthony, is that the thing that I'm most excited about with that win is that they won it their way. Like, the Sixers didn't hit 23s to try to keep up with the Utah Jazz. I still remember the Christmas Day game with the Bucks last year, where the Sixers beat the Bucks, and everybody got so excited because they beat them on Christmas Day. And my first reaction was, hold on, they hit 18 threes that game.
Mm-hmm.
That Sixers team last year was never going to make 18 threes in the span of two games ever again.
Yeah.
Whereas last night, they won it their way. They made 8 threes total. 8 of 25. Yeah, they were one of nine at one point.
It's almost impossible to beat a team that makes 21 threes.
And they won their way. They locked down defense fourth quarter.
That was
great.
The most admirable thing about that. They should by no means have won that game last night. And they wound up winning the game because they had the best player on the floor. The best player who we would have never got if there wasn't Sam Hinkie and a process. And Tony Roten. And Hollis Thompson.
Isaiah Cannon.
And Jakarr Sampson. And all you guys out there. You contributed
Thank you. To
that W last night. Natalie, how you doing?
I'm good. I mean, it's so exciting to watch and to feel like we finally made it to that point where you're saying it, like, you know, and Tyrone always says the process doesn't pay off until there's a championship. However, it feels like we're finally on the precipice of it. Like, and we're watching Joel Embiid become an absolute superstar in the NBA, and it's been so long, I think, since Philly has had a superstar like this. And now he's getting the respect nationally that he deserves. He's, you know, going to be a global sensation. And it's just such an exciting time, I think, to be a Sixers fan. And I can't wait for the second half now. My heart was beating out of my chest. Like, it's insane. It's insane. It just keeps getting better. I said that to Ant earlier.
They hung around. They had to make better plays than the other team. And they did. And Donovan Mitchell got butthurt about it.
Yeah, a little violin for him.
Yeah, 610-622-0975. 610-632-0975. One other thing that I just want to throw out there, because it's bothering me. The Phillies game is going on right now. And Odubel Herrera in his first at-bat hit a home run. No, he did a home run. He bat flipped. Now, it's bad enough that the Phillies are trying to slide this in front of fans, hoping that something magical is going to happen that's going to erase the fact that he was a domestic violenter. And so, like, I get offended that he's playing, but I certainly get offended if they're going to let him play, that he's going to have the audacity to bat flip. See, a guy like that, in his circumstance, if he hits a home run, quietly go around the bases. Don't bat flip me. All right, I'm already unnerved yet that you're playing for this team. And now you're going to say, oh, nothing matters. I'm going to go back to my old bat flip ways. It bugs me. Am I out of line?
No, because he doesn't care. That's the whole point. He doesn't care.
Back to normal.
And the Phillies don't care.
Back to normal, bat flip.
No, nobody actually cares about it. They pretend like they do, but they don't. This is, it's tale as old as time. Classic domestic violence situation playing out in the sports world, particularly in Major League Baseball. And, you know, another day.
See, gaining trust, which he talked about the other day, does not include you bat flipping and sticking it up everybody's keys.
And let's add, this was no little bat flip.
No.
He flung it high in the air.
And people are going, yeah, the guy might get over it. He deserves a second chance. No. They don't deserve a second chance with my team. Don't. Want to take another chance with another team? That's up on them. You don't deserve another chance. You deserve another chance at life, not at baseball, on my squad. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. It's Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:20. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. $2 hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment parts and supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is one of Ferguson's county locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Today, let's start our Twitter poll. Paul B. Moyer and Sons brings us the Twitter poll. Save your back. Get a snowblower. I can't advise it more. Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doyle Sound is a great stock of them. And they also have parts in a full-service repair shop if you have a snowblower that may be on the blink. Visit them in person or check them out online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie Eganoff, today's Twitter poll.
Alrighty, Mike, over 100 votes on this one early. Are the Sixers championship contenders as currently constructed? 59% say yes, 41% say no.
Alrighty.
So feeling good after that win last night.
Thank you very much. So there's this conversation was going on. I know, Andrew, you were involved in this conversation with Anthony where people are actually saying, could he be the best player, the Sixer player of all time? Tell me why you don't think that's premature.
I don't think it's premature. No, I mean, when I say could, right? So yeah. I'm not saying right now is he the best player of all time. Yeah. But I think it's fair to start having the conversation. At some point, you're going to start.
Yeah.
So why not right now when he's...
It's not fair.
Really?
Yeah.
When he's entering his prime.
How could it possibly be fair? He's only played a few years. How could it be fair to say he could be
because
the best
player? He's doing things that you've never seen before.
For right now, he is, yes. But we're talking about
is he going to lose it next year?
Well, listen, he's got to do this. And you realize the level he's going to play at for the next 5 or 6 years? The same level?
But I don't see why we can't start the conversation now where he said, if you say, hey, if you look at this, and he's averaging 30-10 for three straight seasons.
He's having a good year. He's having a good year. This is his best year.
Very, very good year.
Okay, so you got to give me a couple more of these best years before I go, you can be the greatest player of all time. You know how Will Chamberlain pants are driving off the road right now?
I know.
There's a bunch of 65 to 85 year old
people. They're freaking out. They don't want to hear it.
They're spitting out their warm milk.
But I don't think it's crazy to say, hey, one day maybe he could be in this conversation. I think it starts now. You start paying attention to it.
See, I refuse to do this. I refuse to go. I do not react to immediate stimulus. Well, I'll sit here and tell you that without him, they don't win that game last night. That without the process, they don't get Embiid. I'll go there. But I'm not going to go, oh my God, he's the best player. He could be the best player of all time. No.
The Sixers, the conversation has to happen.
You got to show me before I give in, Andrew, you know me.
At some point, you'll be having that conversation.
That's the difference between the younger generation and the older generation. The older generation is more jaded. They go, yeah, okay. Give me 6 years of that, and I'll come on the air, I'll be like decrepit and old by then. I'll limp in here, and I'll say it on the air. Whoever show it is, I'll barge in and say it.
Sounds
all right, because I certainly won't be here. All right, so let me just go in this Odubel thing, because I'm getting some pushback on it. I think this is really interesting. A guy named Carmen emailed me yesterday, and he heard us talking about the Odubel thing, and he says, "This is what he wrote." Looks like the team has forgiven him. Really? How? How's that? What? Because they allowed him to put a uniform on? You think there's guys in there that have forgiven him? No, two. Forgiveness is the basis of the Catholic religion. Now, Nat, as a good Catholic girl growing up, you know that you can do anything you want as long as you go to confession and the priest says, you're forgiven. And what, three Hail Marys? Forgiveness is the basis of the Catholic religion. At three, I hope you can open your heart and give him a second chance. I don't have to open my heart at all. I am under no obligation to open my heart. I think if a guy does that, I am protecting the entity that plays baseball in this city. And what I say is, if a guy does that, I want him out of sight, out of mind. Now, however his life turns out from that point on, knock yourself out. You have the ability to pull yourself by the bootstraps and do whatever you want. If another team's going to give you a chance to play baseball, I'm merely saying in this town, I think it's horrid that the Phillies are now, they're putting him in a position where he can actually make the team by playing. He got another hit. He's 2-for-2. So if their aim was to let's bury this by putting him in a lineup and let him go 0-for-12 and this will justify us cutting him, they're playing a dangerous game. Now they may be forced to keep him, which is horrendous that they even allow that crack of opening for him to get through, which is what they're doing.
Well, and here's the thing. It's okay, forgiveness, I get it. And do I want him to go on and never do this again and perhaps have some peace in his life? Yes, but I don't need to be reminded of what happened while he was with the Phillies every time I'm watching a baseball game.
So get him out. That's all I'm saying. Get him out. He's got a second chance, A, at life, and maybe baseball if somebody gives him another chance.
Exactly.
Why do I have to have the burden of it?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, and it's something that it doesn't leave your mind. And as a woman, it just doesn't leave your mind. And every time, it hurts. It hurts the fans. It hurts the female fans. And it hurts anybody who's been a victim or has witnessed, you know, the repercussions of his actions.
Enough is enough, Phillies. What are you trying to do? You trying to get some kind of juice out of a bad lemon because you're paying him money? That's your fault. He screwed up. He broke his oath to you. So now you got to pay for that.
And you mentioned the dangerous game. Let's face it, center field.
Yeah, they're playing a dangerous game. They're giving him an opportunity to actually win the job here. And then you know what people are going to do? They're going to forget about the infraction. They go, well, he helps my team. He helps my team. Don't give fans a chance to think that. You take the higher moral ground and do the right thing. You're the organization that needs to do the right thing. And if he ends up somewhere else, God bless him, whatever. But it shouldn't be here. Chris in Brooklyn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
What's going on, Mike? How are you?
What's going on? What's up, Chris?
Yeah, so I wanted to bring up your exclusive interview that you had before the season, right after Doc was made head coach, and you broke it down in this jovial conversation you had with him. Do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah, he said that, you know, he had a history with Toby, and he would refine him and make him more involved. He was going to transform JoJo, get him into shape, make him more dominant. Mm-hmm. I think KG was brought up. Then you pressed him, you know, which you always do, which is a good thing. You gave him the Ben question. Mm-hmm. Will he shoot? Will you make him shoot? And he answered it perfectly and said, the way we will be playing, Ben won't need to shoot because the offense will be firing on all cylinders with Seth and the Bull Green who will provide the shooting. So, I mean, from that conversation, it turns out he made good on almost every one of those predictions and made them into reality.
Not really.
I think he's got them.
Not really. Listen, Ben has had has been a lot more aggressive. He still is not a consistent 20-point scorer.
No, he's not.
He took 11 shots last night. Most of them were layups. He made a hook.
I would say he's the weakest link of
Embiid is transformed, no question about it. But he's not getting consistent performances from Green and Curry. That's the reason why they need to go out and get another guy.
Yeah, I think they will. But it's just we have the MVP right now, and I'm getting serious 2001 vibes right now.
Listen, I hope you're right. I think they are a little – again, there's evaluation for a game like last night, which was great, and then there's evaluation of a team's chances to beat another team four times in the playoffs. And that's the difference.
Okay.
All right? I don't want to put a damper on it, but that's the only thing that counts. Can they beat a team that might be slightly better than them? And, you know, it's a conversation now whether the Nets are. They still haven't played with all their players yet, so we don't really know what they are. They seem to be doing pretty well without the one player. And you can either think, well, that guy who comes back is going to mess him up or that guy's going to enhance him. We don't know that. But I think it's clear that the Sixers, with one more good contributing player, would have a better chance in a playoff series to beat the New Jersey Nets or the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this team now, you can use the word contender, but it's not a lock. And if you look at areas of improvement, wouldn't you like to see an improvement to Danny Green, who has an occasional nice night, but then can't get on the floor in the fourth quarter because you can't depend on him?
Yeah.
Shake Milton's fallen down, crossing midcourt. Now, I like Shake. Shake's a nice little player, but you need that secondary ball handler.
Yeah.
He's on the court with Ben late because you need a secondary ball handler late in the game like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can find improvement.
Yeah, you saw the bench when they were all out there at the same time. They were horrendous.
Yeah, you need another shooter off the bench. Yeah. Korkmaz ain't it.
Yeah, now regarding my conversation that you brought up with Doc, says, like what everybody else says, I don't pay attention to what he can't do, which is idealistic BS, okay? And let's cut to the chase here. If he's going to be more aggressive, that's fine. It's still not going to be as complete as if he takes shots. Okay, so like every night in the playoffs, if you're going to count on him being aggressive enough to score 25 points a game, I think you're a little misguided. So this BS that people want to keep ignoring the problem that he doesn't shoot the ball, that works for you, fine. But in reality, you know what the truth is.
The question is, do you need him to score 25 a night?
I think it would help. I think it would help
it
for
would
him
help.
To score that kind of... They're not going to get enough points from Green and Curry. They're just not. They are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's two major parts of your perimeter. So, yes, he does need to score that many points. All right, let's go Chris in Levittown. Chris, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Chris.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Chris?
So last night was bittersweet for me. Sweet because, you know, the Sixers finally, you know, put themselves as contenders in, you know, in the league and in the East. But I'll tell you bitter. I want you to listen to this parlay, man. It's just painful. So I had a 7-legger, $10 to win 1,000. I had the Sixers money line over 230, Ben Simmons to get 15 plus points, Joel Embiid 14 plus rebounds, Embiid 40 plus points, Donovan Mitchell 25 plus points. And then here it is, man. I needed Ben to give me 8 assists and he couldn't get it done for me.
Well, listen, man, you're making a bet like that. It's like,
I know.
Kiss up the God, my man. Come on. It's a shame. But what was the likelihood you were going to hit that?
Super unlikely. But, it's, you know, when you get that close and we're in the OT, 91.2 assists, man, I'm right there. It's 5.
Yeah, I get you. Awesome. You're like a Salchunas better. You like to bet these little, you know, these tasty little nuggets, which I stay away from as a wiser man.
Yeah, no, we're trying to get the big ones. We don't want the little ones down here. Come on.
Yes. anyway, that's a shame, man. I'm sorry for you, Chris.
Have a good day, Mike.
All right, buddy. You got it. See, I'm at a stage in my life where I did it once this year. I had Embiid a double-double and the Sixers win. They lost. He got 9 rebounds. So, and I did that because I listened to you.
Oh, is it my fault?
On that 6 o'clock show. Talking about betting lines and how you play all these little angles.
Yes.
And I go, why did I do that?
Listen, it's fun.
I am a straight, I handicap a game now. I look at a reasonable money line. I pound it. And I don't have to worry.
Okay.
I don't like worrying.
No, I get it.
I don't like fretting over again. Oh my God, Ben needs one more assist. But, you know, I just can't do it.
It does change the way you watch games at times. And last week, I had 3 separate parlays that fell 1 leg short.
Uh-huh.
I had to take a week off.
Well.
Because you're that close, and you're like, okay, you know, just can't do it.
Yeah. Let's go to Jim in Levittown. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, guys. How you doing this evening?
What's up, Jim?
All right. My quick comment about the Harris situation going on.
Mm-hmm.
Herrera. My whole thing is Herrera. I always butcher his name.
Yeah.
You know, although what he did is just disgusting. Like, I mean, woman, man, whatever, like, to just do that to another human being is disgusting. So my thing is, the guy made a huge mistake. Should he be given another chance? Should he be given the opportunity to possibly rehabilitate, to, you know, do the whole, you know, women abuse centers, you know, home for women, like really just, you know, see what kind of negative effect that some, you know, what he did not has only on his partner, but, like, you know, women all over the place.
Okay, well, then do it in another city. Do it in another city. Let me ask you this. What do you lose? Yeah. What do you lose specifically if he's not here?
Personally, I don't lose anything.
Okay, then what's the point? I don't understand why are you fighting for his rights? It wasn't a mistake. It was a crime that he somehow slid it out of.
Now you got it in every sport. I mean,
it's a crime. Who puts up with domestic violence? What's the upside of bringing back a player who has done that?
It's a business.
It's a business. He's not that much of a talent. Where you don't have to have a guy like Odubel Herrera. He's not Willie Mays. So you can put out a moral lesson without having to worry about whether the guy is going to help you win for your business. It's an easy call. It's the easiest call anybody could ever make.
But are the Phillies in the business of morality?
Listen to me. Odubel Herrera is not going to make that much of a difference to the team in comparison to the statement that you should be making as an organization against domestic violence. You're not taking it as seriously as you should. You said he made a mistake. He committed a crime.
Which is, in essence, a mistake.
You know what a mistake is? A mistake is boiling a hard-boiled egg too long. That's what a mistake is.
Which I did the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made a mistake. What? I don't understand these people. What are you holding on to exactly? What are you holding on to that it's so necessary to have Odubel Herrera in your lineup? All right, so he might hit 280. So what? Find another guy to hit 280. You need this guy? This guy comes with a stink. That 280 smells like rotten eggs. Let's go to Mo in Westchester. Mo, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mo.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Mo?
I like Haseley in center field myself.
He stinks, too.
I give him a chance. I really, you know, that's just me.
What do you want to hold on a second? Because this is like me arguing with Tyrone. What do you see in Haseley?
I want them to give him a chance. He's young, he's cheap, and I think he can develop into something.
Why? What do you see?
I love his first season. He had really strong wrists, and he was smacking doubles everywhere. So he was really quick with the flip of the wrist.
Yeah, he's an average player.
And he made some nice catches. He's average.
He's a backup player.
What else do they have that is?
Go ahead and get somebody. Average. Jackie Bradley was just on the market. Yeah, go get him. I'm getting somebody through your farm system. I don't understand this desperation. I'm going to have Odubel Herrera.
You're fired up.
I am. It's ridiculous. Oh, my God. Odubel's going to be gone.
Hey, he homered today. Not that I can.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. They are giving him a chance to do that to fans. Yeah. Oh, he had a home run today. Yeah, so you forget about the other end of it. That's why I blame the Phillies.
It's a bad PR thing. They should just you cut ties with them. You're right.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to call you on Monday, but I'm going to do some Sixers comments. So I wanted to actually call you on Monday about the Flyers and see if it was a violation to complain about a team that won for the first time in its history back-to-back road shutouts. I can't stand the way they're playing, and it's before the Pittsburgh game, but you know, hopefully they'll
we had this conversation with some Flyer fans yesterday. I don't get you people either. I do not get you people. This team is a legitimate good team, right? And so they'll lose the game, and it's like the sky's falling.
Now,
I don't get you guys.
It's consistency.
It's the regular season. Who's consistent in the regular season? People lose all the time.
But this is what your talk show is about. It's about, you know, when teams like to complain about.
No, there's reasonableness and then there's unreasonableness. One regular season loss should not define what they're... Like, I'm reading last night, the game's still in progress. My God, the people on Twitter, oh, this team stinks. Oh, Utah's twice as good as this team. Oh, never mind.
All right, let's same game play out.
Well, yes. Like, this regular season angst... It's puzzling to me. Because you can... And why it is, because I believe Philadelphia fans are smarter than this. And if you're smarter than this, you know a good team from a not-so-good team. The Flyers are a legitimately good team. The Sixers are a legitimately good team. One regular season loss, like they lost to Cleveland the other night. I go, it's going to happen. It's regular season. These guys look at the other team like, we always used to have to do is show up tonight to win this game. And when you lose that little edge and the other team's hungry and you don't match their energy, you lose a game like that. That's what happens in the regular season. That's why it doesn't happen in the playoffs to good teams.
And Mike, the amount of complaints I saw that Lake Tahoe game where half the team was out with COVID.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they lost to the Bruins again. They'll never be able to contend. I'm like, then half the roster's not playing. What are you complaining about?
If you look at the standings, You look, and you'll know that the Flyers are a pretty good team.
Yes.
I think sometimes the fan base is also, like, traumatized, too, where they think that if that one loss is just going to kick off the unraveling, because they're so used to it, but you got to, like you're saying. Right.
There's nothing to unravel.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but, like, they just can't actually embrace the fact that there are two good teams in front of our eyes right now. I think it's that whole Negadelphia mentality that Tyrone talks about all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Now listen, this is a telling spell for them because they're playing three against the Penguins. If they lose all three, well, then worry. Worry should set in because that means the Penguins have moved ahead of you in a point-wise and you might not even make the playoffs in that situation. So that's reason for worry. But like an occasional loss here or there should not have people sounding alarms. All right. 610-622-0975. Sometimes I feel like I'm out of line for saying things that I think are so morally, logically sound that I go, is the world backwards? Like this Odubel Herrera thing is so clear to me. It's like not even funny.
All they care about is the contract.
But come on, man. It's like...
People don't care, Mike. They don't care.
Like a guy like John Middleton, who should know what's important and what's not important, should not be saying it's more important for Odubel Herrera to be a Philly than it is for us to do the right thing.
And
that's what I don't get.
He doesn't care because they've never had to care. That's why.
Well, that's
sad.
Why. That's why I'm trying to make people care.
I know you are.
But like, doesn't he deserve a second chance? Doesn't fly with me because... Get it somewhere else. He doesn't have to have it here. In fact, he doesn't have to have a chance at baseball ever again. And if somebody wants to hire him, that's totally on them. And if I was a sports talk host in any city that he signed, I'd be saying the same thing. It's a bad stain that you're asking people to enable. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
45. This is our show. 97.5 The Fanatic. You a Clash man, Andrew?
Rock the Casbah or whatever it is. Cash box, cash bar. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, rock the cash box. Yeah, that's what it's called. Yeah. Hey, what do you think? Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, no good.
For you? You know, hey, good.
To before your time.
I mean, I know the song.
Do you?
You know.
You like the Clash?
You know, they're not really relevant in my life.
Yeah. All right. Little Andrew at age 16, rocking around, trying to find a neck to put a mark on. What was little Andrew in Jersey listening to?
I was all over the place. I definitely listened to country music. We already know that.
You listened to country music at age 16?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did you hang out with country
music?
It
was about a girl. You know, that was part of it. She got me into it. Yeah, there's a girlfriend back in the day that got me into it.
The country music?
Yes. Her whole family liked the country music. Oh. They would always play when I was there. It was nice.
Did you have any original musical interests before the country turn?
I mean, I listened to hip-hop when I was before games and all kind of stuff. I was all over the place. And then I was a big Beatles guy growing up. My parents love it.
Beatles man?
Yeah.
I don't see that as
you. And then, you know, we had the Sundays with Sinatra in the house. I was all over the place. Yeah. I'm not a specific genre guy. I guess you would say country's number one for me.
Yeah, what was your heyday? Your '90s? Early 2000s?
Yeah.
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
So Natalie, what should he been into if he was a pop music guy or
pop music in the early 2000s. Well, you're like 6 years younger than me. I would think he would be like an emo.
No,
you weren't an emo.
Like Take
kid?
It Back no. Sunday, like those bands. Yeah, right?
Every normal teenager was into that.
Ska,
emo.
Ska, yeah.
I was into some ska. Okay, I messed around with some ska.
Ska. Okay, that's good.
But not emo.
No, My Chemical Romance.
No, I was not a Chemical Romance guy.
How about Linkin Park?
No, I wasn't the biggest Linkin Park
fan. Green Day.
I like Green Day. I messed around with Green Day.
You did?
Yeah, I messed around with them.
Okay, I was, you know, trying to figure it out.
I'm an interesting man.
The first country. The girl likes country.
Yes.
Which I go. Nice to meet you. See ya. But if she was good looking enough for you to hang in there, who did she convert you to in the country situation?
They played all kinds of stuff. My favorite band is Zac Brown Band.
Zac Brown.
Yeah,
band.
I got into that by myself.
Though. Oh, you did? Well, what did she influence you with?
What was she into? I don't know. I'm telling you, they played it all the time. It wasn't a specific group that they were into or that she was into.
Okay. What's she doing now?
I think she's a teacher somewhere. Yeah.
Did you break her heart?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Broke a lot of hearts in my day.
Was it over country music?
It was not over country takes.
See, the one thing I do know about Andrew in his younger years is he had the Bieber haircut.
I did have the Bieber. I did it before Biebs, though. To this day, I make sure to mention I did it before Biebs, and I cut it before Biebs, too.
All right.
I was a trendsetter.
Oh, that's nice. You have any photos of that? Can I see that?
You have pictures, right? Because you showed me
my graduation picture. I still had long hair. Yeah, I got a cut midway through senior year.
Did you take this girl to the prom? The high school prom?
No.
The country girl?
No.
Is it a different one?
No, this is earlier. This is, you know, sophomore year. We did prom junior and senior year.
All right, by senior year, who were you running with?
Another girlfriend at the time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have a good prom?
Yeah, it was a nice prom. It's a good time. Did the beach thing afterwards. It was a good time.
So your parents let you spend the night at the beach?
Yes.
Yeah. Did the girl's parents know it? Where would you?
I'm gonna guess.
Was it on the slide?
Sure.
Was it one of these deals? Oh, a bunch of us are going there.
Well, bunch of us.
There was a bunch of us. There was a bunch of us.
Okay.
You know, a bunch of like 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds.
I gotcha. Will in North Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Will.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Will?
Listen, I don't know how you can't see the parallels between a Dougal and, let's say, yourself.
Myself? All right, go ahead. Because I can't remember that me being involved in a domestic violent episode.
No, no, it's not violent.
Okay, all right, so go ahead.
Hear me out. All right, so I wouldn't say you rehabilitated your image, but, you know, you punched a coworker in the face, as reports say.
No, I didn't.
You said some insensitive things, and ABC, you know, told you to kick rocks from your part-time gig. You weren't asked to leave the city of Philadelphia.
I also didn't ask for a second chance. Okay, first of all, let's there are two different things here. One is a crime. Okay, he committed a crime. Now, if I've had some problems in the past, I've had some problems in the past, and I wasn't entitled to get hired, and somebody happened to hire me. I did not, however, commit domestic violence. All right, now if you don't see, apparently you don't understand it because it's not even close to being the same thing.
Maybe you had parental figures that showed you how to treat a woman. Maybe a dude.
I don't care what it is. He committed Let me ask you this. Will, why is it so important for you that he gets a chance with the Phillies?
It's not. It's you on your moral,
forget me. The guy.
You're a hypocrite.
Yeah, I'm not a hypocrite because I didn't commit a crime and I didn't commit domestic violence. We're talking about something that is completely heinous. A lot of people have been involved in altercations, okay? A lot of people have made the mistakes I've made. This is a crime. And you're asking. First of all, you're not thinking of the woman at all here, our last caller. There are women that are offended that this man is back like they just swept domestic violence under the carpet. If you want to think that's the same thing what I did and it makes you feel better, knock yourself out. I am astounded at all the people that are married to Odubel Herrera getting a second chance with the Phillies. I don't get it. What are you talking about? My moral high horse? It's the right thing. It's not a moral high horse. It's I refuse to accept domestic violence. I refuse to accept racism. That's a moral high horse? Or is that just being a normal Christian person? You people are out of your minds. Good Lord. Let me get to a break. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show's on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Michael Snelly Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Kirkley's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie, hoagie, party trays. Everybody is good. Keith Pompey will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll talk some Sixers. Great win last night. So as long as we're on this, and so I've been accused of being on a moral high horse, let me just say this. I'll say that if more of us decided to get onto a moral high horse, which is not really difficult to get onto, we'd be able to make a dent, I think, in scourges like domestic violence and sexual harassment. Well, you're going to read about something almost every day in the workplace where a man is sexually harassing a woman. And maybe we can then, if we got on the moral high horse, we can then develop some kind of an intolerance to racism and work. So sometimes moral high horses are like really good. And in this particular situation, it applies to Odubel Herrera. Why would you defend him? Why? I do not, but because you've made mistakes in your life and you got another chance? All right, that's fine. We're talking about a baseball team that is a business in this town that has paying customers. Why should paying customers be defending a guy who did something like this? He doesn't have to be in your presence. That doesn't mean his life is going to end.
Sometimes I feel like people just feel like being contrarian for the sake of being contrarian when it comes to some issues. But I never understand why when it comes to this. Like, why is this what you feel the need to try and find an argument about? This is a non-controversial subject. It's 2021. Domestic violence isn't controversial. It's non-controversial. There's no two sides to anything anymore when it comes to this. We've come too far.
What is a moral high horse? If it's moral, it's right.
Right.
I don't understand what people are talking about here. Oh my God, you're a bad man. You're on a moral high horse. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I guess I'll go and rob a bank and murder somebody. The hell? Oh, let's go back to the phones. Norm in Lancaster. Norm, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Norm.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Norm?
Hey, listen, you look very suave in your 76ers
jacket. It's a nice little item, isn't it?
I agree. Yes,
this Sixer pullover is a nice little item. As you know, though, Rock's rocking the hat. I want to make America great again. So I got you. I got USA on the front.
Yeah, well, you're bringing it all today. Yeah, I just wanted to make you an offer.
Uh-huh. What?
With the way the 76ers have been playing, I'll flip the bill, and I'll go in and get one with you. Let's both go in and get a 76ers tattoo.
No. I don't get team tattoos, man.
I would say no.
If I'm getting a tattoo, I'm getting an inspirational saying on my rib. That's your rib. That's it for me. An inspirational saying on my rib. That's what I'm getting. But no colorful tattoos, no emojis like Mike Scott. You know, yeah, Jordan Clarkson last night had some really beautiful ink. He had this, I don't know if it was his children. His shoulders.
That's what it looks like.
His shoulders and arms are spectacular. But no, I can't go team tattoo, bro.
Yeah, they got some fine work out there with tees right now. And by the way, this lowball individual of which we spoke of, I think the fans really want to get on the bandwagon with that. Every time he comes up to bat, stand up and turn your back to him. When he goes out in center field, just like...
Just cut it off at the bud. Like, you don't even have to force fans to react. Just take it out of their hands. Do the right thing. Move them on to another team. Cut them. Let somebody else pick them up. You need to wash your hands of this situation because you're offending the females and a lot of males in your fan base. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, I agree. I mean, if his wife was my daughter...
I got you, man. Yeah, by the way, just set the record straight. I never punched anybody in the face. I got to an altercation with a guy who deserved it. I'll tell you flat out. All right, so that's all I was doing is standing my ground. But I never punched anybody in the face. So at least get this story right. Let's go to Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mike, Matt, Andrew. Up, you know, love you. You and Andrew rocking the pullover. You know, the first time I met Andrew was, if he remembers, he was wearing Jamie Moyer to one of the first fan fests that you guys had. And I actually met up with him. I have a Phillies tattoo now. And I'm sitting here, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm mad because, you know, you see Mickey Muniak just hit a home run a couple minutes ago.
Did he really? Wow.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing him come up and have a chance in the big leagues. He was a number one pick, you know, and I have another option. It was back in 18. Bryce Harper used to play center field.
He can't.
Matt Joyce. I know Matt Joyce is only.
Yeah, he can't play Bryce in center anymore. It's too much physicality.
I'm with you. I don't think Odubel deserves to be anywhere near a Phillies dugout or on the field. Mm-hmm. Not for this team. No. The broadcast was trying to talk to Joe Girardi and sit there and get the point of he's made his reprimand. You know, he's said I'm sorry to you know, the girlfriend, to the organization. He's gone to players. He's talking to people. Who cares?
It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. The Phillies are now embarrassing themselves by trying to justify it, and so now they've opened an opportunity now for him to play well, and then like the fans are going to say, well, he plays well, and they're going to forget the other part of it. That's why I say they have a responsibility to just cut him.
Exactly. One more point, last night, I wanted to see if you saw this. So early in the first half, when I saw Tobias get a rebound or Joel came down and gave it to Tobias, he took off. And if you're Ben Simmons looking at this, do you feel like Tobias may be trying to take the mantle from you a little bit by not slowing it down, giving it to you, the point guard, letting you run the play, and he just took it down the court? And he
No. They have a break when they have a break. If that's available to Tobias to break, then he certainly can handle the ball well enough to do it. No, it's not.
He did show up in overtime, though, Mike.
Yeah, he played well. But it's not slighting anybody if somebody else gets a fast break opportunity.
Yes, it's nice because now he's earning his money. At the same time, that shot that Joel hit at the end of regulation to tie it up, well, not the end, but, you know, just take that step back like that. Like, he has matured his game from last year.
I would have went to Shaquille O'Neal would have to say about that play there. I'm looking forward to the next time Shaquille goes, I used to do that. I used to handle the ball away from a defender and get behind a three-point line and fade away and make a three. I remember when I used to do that.
So, Mike, what's next? We're going to see Joel Embiid in a wrestling ring like Shaq was last night for AEW?
Joel is all business. That's the thing. He's not doing the silliness stuff anymore, which is what I like. He means business.
Maturity, man. Fatherhood.
Exactly right. And he exposed Rudy Gobert. This defensive player of the year, great defender. Defensive player of the year, center who stays in one box and blocks shots.
Yeah, the second he steps
he's done. So he's the defensive player of the year? It totally exposed him. I take him off my ballot after last night.
Phillies, is that right?
Phillies are winning 12-0.
Yeah, they're crushing the Yankees.
Are you kidding me? What's going on in this
game? I think the Yankees are throwing a lot of mutts today.
Oh, Boehm.
There's a lot of 70s. Yeah. A lot
Boehm
of number
bomb.
70s.
Boehm hit a three-run homer.
Yes,
yeah,
he did.
A Boehm bomb.
Huh? All right, so Moniak. Did Moniak hit a home run? He did hit a home run.
Line shot to right field.
Moniak gets a home run. Nick Maton.
Yeah, he drove in a three-run double.
Three-run double. He also struck out twice. Let's see how the pitchers are doing here. All right, you got Matt Moore started. Vinny Velasquez. Two scoreless innings with three punch-outs. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, the lead wasn't big enough yet.
Kinsler. One inning.
It'll be a nice
run
to
hit
this
ball, two strikeouts. About that.
It'll be a nice addition.
How about those Phils got the bats going today? All right, let's go to Brendan in Manion. Brendan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brendan.
Yeah, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Brendan? How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to say I agree with you about it, dude. But, like, I think he's got to go. And I kind of equate it to, like, the Mike Vick situation. Like, if he wants to go somewhere else and, like, redeem himself and, like, do a lot of work for the community, that's fine. But, like, I'm tired of seeing him here. You know, like, I got a jersey as a gift and, like, I had to throw it out. Like, I don't want anything to do with him.
Well, you know, a lot of people bring up this Vic thing. This guy's been emailing me. Oh, why do you think Michael Vick deserves it? I see it's a clear difference. Michael Vick was committed a crime, was convicted of a crime, served time for committing a crime. At that point, you are now a felon trying to put your life back together, and you have received punishment for what you did. Odubel didn't receive any punishment. He had no punishment at all.
Definitely not.
He still got paid on a contract. He's back in training camp with the Phillies. And there's no punishment. And don't give me his wife stayed with him. In a lot of domestic violence cases, the wives are incapable of leaving the guy for whatever reason.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you. I don't want to hear his name. I cringe at the thought. So yeah, I'm definitely.
Wait, but now they've opened the door now. Because now they're trying to wean him back in the fans' good graces. And they go, oh, look at that. Odubel had two hits today. He scored two runs. You know, he's making amends for what he did. That's under the Phillies' control. Yeah. All right, man.
Thank you. All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You see the parallel or the difference between Vic and Odubel?
Yeah, Michael Vick time.
2 years in jail and like solitary confinement and in a jail cell.
And if I'm not mistaken, then also served his suspension, too. So he did the jail time, then he did football suspension. I know Odubel got suspended from baseball, but that's not enough.
And then has pledged his life after the fact to, you know, advocating against animal abuse. So it's, you really shouldn't compare the two because they're not the same situations in any way, shape, or form. And I think it's a cop-out when you try and compare the two.
I'm astounded that the guy has any support at all among the fans. I'm learning something today that's pretty disturbing to me, that people are willing to just not look at the the action and look at, oh my God, he's one of our Phillies. And I don't know, maybe I'm just different.
Well, the other thing is, unfortunately, he plays a position where there's an open competition right now. And people will look at it and go, oh man, he could, you know, be the starting center fielder.
There would be a conversation that would have more teeth if he was one of the game's superstars, right? That would make it right, but you know how people are when they like to cut corners on a star. This guy is not even a close to a star player. And so the decision could be so easy, and they're not making it easy.
No, and it's... I don't know why, and you're surprised. I'm not surprised at all that we're still getting phone calls defending it. You know, in 2021, in March, on March 4th, 2021, where people are still trying to rationalize and justify and minimize what happened for the sake of sports. Like, again, it's not going to change until the leagues hold people accountable and have, like, a no-tolerance rule. But by trying to finesse it, it gives permission for the fans, because then the organizations are justifying the fans' mentality that it's okay and that it's a mistake, and it just perpetuates itself. It's a cycle that never ends, and nobody has to answer for it technically except for the fan base, and it just is going to continue to make the people who are uncomfortable with it uncomfortable, and nobody cares. That's the thing.
I see, this is the thing, and I'm trying to get people to care about it, and I can make a lot of enemies because I try, because I'm on this so moral high horse. I look at the world today, like the two of the biggest scourges that we have are the effects of racism and the effects of domestic violence, where one culture or gender is judged as lesser than. I don't know what needs to be more visible than that to people. And so this is in that category. And I go, all right, well, then let's do something about it. Let's just stand up for something that's right instead of, falling victim of the candy store. Oh, my God, we've got to have our baseball team. You're going to have your baseball team. Tom and Aston, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Hey, Mike and crew, how you guys doing?
What's up, Tom?
Good, good, good. Hey, I just want to break up the monotony just a little bit, and I totally agree with your stance. I'm enjoying the conversation, and I agree with you. But wanted to bring up Flyers fans, and you've been talking about it off and on during the week about how this is a pretty good team, and I'm not a big follower of hockey at all, but this is a pretty good team.
Yeah, they are.
I think the reason why you have like this apprehensive attitude towards them from the fans is that if you look at the Flyers organization since its history, they've always had that, you know, doing it the Flyers way. And ever since they won the last Stanley Cup, it's always been someone within the organization or coming from the organization that's had control, whether it was with Bobby Clarke to Ron Hextall. It's always been somebody within that organization that was kind of calling the shots and getting those type of players that would muck it up on the ice and everything like that. Now you have a pretty new regime. So you have a good coach, a different coach than what the Flyers fans are used to. It's not somebody from within the organization. It's somebody who's, you know, had experience elsewhere, but it's not the old Flyers way. And the same thing with the general manager and everything like that. So if this was the same hockey team, let's say that Bobby Clarke was the general manager of like 10 years ago or something like that, you would hear more of the fans rallying behind them. But since this is a totally new regime, they can't kind of get behind it because it's not the old school Flyers.
I think they have
a hard time adapting it.
Well, I mean, it's a good theory, Tom. Thanks for the call. I don't think it applies that declaratively, because they did experience a new way. They last year, this team with young talent playing a different way with a different coach and a different general manager and a different mindset did open some Flyer fans' eyes. So I don't think it's as much that as it is, I don't know, like fear that of past failures that makes people leap to conclusions that shouldn't be conclusions until later on down the line. Now, we're going to see, just like we're going to see with the Sixers when they come out of the All-Star break, when the schedule gets condensed and it's going to be a little tougher for them, we'll see how good they really are. And I think in this stretch, we're going to see how good the Flyers are. They have two more games with Pittsburgh, and then they have three games with Washington in their next four. So now we're talking about a measure that we can look at. And then the Islanders for three, I think, coming like after that. So that's a major stretch. We're going to determine like how good they are. But you know, they keep winning. They beat the Rangers. They beat Buffalo. They beat Buffalo. They lost to Pittsburgh. In those losses, those wins, people are going, oh, I still don't like the way they're playing. Heart's not the same. They won three. They won three games.
Back-to-back shutouts.
That's 6 points they piled up.
I know Buffalo's a mess.
I understand that they're losing to Boston, and they did lose that shootout to the Rangers before that, but you can tell when a team is pretty good. And this is why Fly fans are making me crazy, because you know that this is a pretty good team. And so don't overreact to one loss, and don't overreact that when they win that it wasn't like 100% perfect. Now we're going to see. You get two games at Pittsburgh. You lost the first one. If they lose two more, well, I got reason to worry a little bit. And then Washington.
You mentioned it, leaping to conclusions. That's the big one. And it's not just the Flyers. It's the Sixers, too. They had a loss a few weeks ago. And yeah. Somebody tweeted into the midday show and said, they're a fifth seed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? They're currently on. This was when they were up 2.5 above the Nets. I was like, they're 2.5 games up in the Eastern Conference.
It's possible that there's a reverse psychology strategy here where they're going, yes, they're not good, not good, not good. And then when they do it again in the playoffs, they'll be delighted.
Yeah, but now you're not enjoying the ride. Well, that's the thing. You're living in misery for 72 games.
What fans in this city enjoy the ride? Does anybody enjoy the ride here in Philadelphia?
That's a great question.
No, they don't. And they don't because we haven't had enough success to enjoy rides.
Good point.
610-632-0975. Tony in Parkwood. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Tony?
It's been a long time since I talked to you.
How you doing?
Well, okay, watched that game last night. All I could say was like, wow. You know, there's certain games during the year that are statement games. To me, this was one of them. You know, I just kept thinking when Embiid made that shot, could you imagine if they had 19,000 at that place, how nuts that place would have gone? You know?
Yeah, I it's funny because I watched the reaction of his teammates. I think they were even stunned by it.
Exactly.
You know, they didn't know how to react to it. And then somebody put up their hands like, oh, he made that? Yeah, it's one of those deals.
And you know what impressed me too, again, and I've been a little critical of him in the past, but Harris showed up in the overtime, man. You got to give him credit.
He did. The last possession bothered me because Embiid had to take it by himself. Like nobody moved. It looked like four guys were frozen in mud. And then he goes, all right, I guess I got to do something here.
Exactly. And you know what else, too? I was laughing when I caught your commentary when you first started. You're right about the NBA guys. I mean, nobody ever fouls anybody. Did you see Gobert last night? Every time he got called for a foul, he's stomping around.
It's absolutely ridiculous with these guys.
Yeah.
And you know, these officials let him get away with it. And all of a sudden, when they finally do react, they become the bad guy.
Exactly. You know what else is interesting too? Did you see the little side play between Simmons and I forget the guy's name who fouled out, who got
Donovan Mitchell?
Yeah. They always had a little history together because they were going after each other a little bit last night. Yeah. And I think he was a little ticked off because I don't think he felt he got some of the calls at the end. But look, you've watched the NBA long enough like I have. They don't call anything in the last 2 minutes unless it's really blatant. You got to really, you know what I mean?
I don't know. Listen, they had every advantage in that game, his team. That's one of the classic example of he can't believe they lost. And he may have been one of the reasons because he took 34 shots and didn't make enough shots. So now a guy like that goes, it's got to be somebody else's fault. That's his initial reaction. So it's like, it's the official's fault. And then so he says it after the game. I bet you today he's feeling different.
He wasn't the only one saying it. Gobert said it after the game, and he blamed being a small market team. He was like, I know we're a small market team and we're great, but you have to be more than great.
Yeah, so they're leading the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Best team in the league. They'd be undefeated if the officials actually didn't think they were a small market team.
Exactly.
Come on, you guys. You guys are full of crap. All right, couple open lines. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's time for a Twitter poll update. Yes, it is. What is this? Is that the cake?
Yes. Yes.
Is that cake? Short skirt, long jacket.
Long jacket.
That's right. Cake. Never got them.
No, I'm not a...
joke band.
Not a cake gal. They are a joke band, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm not into joke bands.
No.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul V. Moyer and Sons. God, Dad.
All righty. Over 800 votes on this one, Mike. Are the Sixers championship contenders as currently constructed? 55% say yes, 45% say no.
All right, thank you. Who would be in that category of joke bands?
Is it weird that I always felt Fountains of Wayne was like a joke band? Because their hit was Stacy's Mom.
Yeah, Fountains of Wayne are from... close to New Jersey.
They are kind of local, right?
Yeah, they were in their Sopranos. The place, there was a place, it's a place called Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, right.
It's like you can buy, it's like a nursery type, and you can buy like bird baths and stuff.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Those type of joints.
That's just the first one that comes to mind because I was like, this song is catchy, but it's a weird song. It's not like a serious song.
Like Weezer is a good band, but Weezer has a little bit of a joke in them. You know, you got that, Andrew?
Yes. Joke. Flip on the telly, wrestle with Jimmy. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that Jack Black's stupid ass band.
Oh,
dumbass band. What was that?
Oh,
band
that's
called?
A total joke band.
Yeah.
Tenacious D.
Yeah, Tenacious D. the Darkness. The band called The Darkness.
Oh,
which would be classified as a joke band. Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, Flight of the Conchords. They're hysterical. Wait, yeah. The Darkness, I believe in a thing called love?
No, Darkness.
Wait, I'm confusing them.
Yeah, when I was at WMMR, we used to play their song. Chuck D'Amico, our program director, would.
He knows it.
Because they're the type of band that go, we used to joke about it, because Chuck back then was our... was a part of the production of our show at MMR. And in the, like, they're one of those bands that, like, they stop a chorus and then the lead singer will go, guitar! And then the guy will come in with the guitar.
Right.
Right?
Like, oh my God.
The Darkness does sing, I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
A Thing Called Love?
Just stick it into the rhythm of my heart. Yeah. Right?
Is that their hit?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one hit wonder there.
Okay. All right.
I mean, they might be a joke band, though.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, bands don't take themselves seriously.
Yes.
But they think they're rock bands.
Yes.
Yeah, but Weezer, you mentioned it, and I was going to say that too. Like, they got a cult following.
They do, and they have some actually good songs, but they do have some joke songs. Beverly Hills.
Yes.
That's where I want to be.
Pretty sure I came out in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, like one of those.
That was a high school jam.
Yeah. All right, 610-632-0975. John in Philly. John, you're on 97.5.
Yes, how are you, Mike?
What's up, John?
First time caller. Listen, I enjoy your show, and I think you're the best in the city. Here's what I'd like to say. You're right about Odubel. I think the Phillies are trying to cover the blanket over it and hope it blows over. But I have seen this in Philadelphia before, and this gentleman was a part of the media. Hugh Douglas was arrested for strangling a woman and took a guilty plea after he was fired from ESPN. Now, he may be a part of the media, but I always say when you get a job, a media job, because you're an Eagle, you're still an Eagle. You still represent that team.
Nah.
Nah?
I mean, what did you... I mean, they didn't offer him a chance to be an employee again. So, like, what's the...
Well, nobody ever talked anything about it. Nobody ever mentioned it or talked on radio every time I try to call up about it.
Well, I don't know what they're saying. It's not a current issue. He was out of the business, and he paid for that infraction by getting fired and being out of the business. But this is a current... Like, this guy's playing for the current team with this hovering.
Yeah, well, Hugh Douglas still calls all the talk shows in Philadelphia. So he's been calling him for years.
Well, it's not... I mean, I don't know what to say about it. I've never had Hugh Douglas on, and so I don't know. Like, it's not an actual employment situation, is what I'm saying. The Phillies are employing this guy.
Yes, I understand that. But I still look at it that because he was an Eagle and he's in the job, in the media job, because he's an Eagle, he represents them.
Yeah, but he's not here. He's not doing anything in Philadelphia.
He's on other stations calling.
That's what I'm saying. Odubel Herrera could very well pick up with another team somewhere else. I don't know, Colorado Rock, whatever. I just think it's the moral right thing for the Phillies to clip him.
Yeah, but then when you remember when it happened, didn't you think it was like nonchalant, it was pied it up quick?
I don't remember the Udubel thing because he wasn't a player at the time that it happened.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, we deal with current situations. This is a current situation. He's in the lineup today. And there's no reason for it. And like I say, like people want to come down hard. Well, you're in Remoria. Things happen to you. Oh, yeah, I lost jobs and I didn't work for a while. That was my punishment. I didn't work for a while. This guy's working. You know, they have a chance not to. Like, I got fired. The Phillies haven't fired him.
Mike, you never beat a woman.
No, and I didn't commit a crime. Mike.
This is a
current situation where he committed a crime, did not get punished for it, weaseled out of it. The Phillies know what the right thing to do is. For some reason, they aren't doing it. So I don't understand it. It's not like he's going to like die. If the Phillies cut him, he's not dying. He has another chance of life. Maybe some other team will hire. I'm just speaking for the Phillies' responsibility now. That's all. I think it's disrespectful to a lot of your fans, the entire women fan base, and reasonable-minded men. Two of whom who've not called today, the reasonable-minded one. Two unreasonable-minded people called today on it.
Yeah.
It's 3:30, and it is time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for Nats News. Oh, yes, we do this every day at 3:30. Nats News, where she goes around the globe and comes up with three stories that are interesting, ridiculous, or just downright absurd.
And interesting. So in case you were losing sleep at night, you know how Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are getting divorced?
Uh-huh.
So she's going to keep the $60 million mansion. Sources close to the former couple told TMZ she's been staying at the home with her four children while Kanye is living at their ranch in Wyoming. So she thinks that it's good to keep the family together. However, Kanye did go to collect some of his belongings, and he picked up his 500 pairs of sneakers. 500 pairs of sneakers.
500 pairs of sneakers.
Yes, that's what he went and got when he went to collect his belongings.
So what do you mean they're still together? Like, what's going on there? Like,
oh, no, they're divorcing.
They're divorcing.
Yeah, so she's going to get
the six kids.
Four kids are still together, yes.
Okay, so it's not like they're just still friends or anything.
No, but the property took 6 years to renovate, and she has no plans to move out or sell it.
This is Wyoming?
No, she's in Beverly Hills.
Oh, she's in Beverly Hills.
Kanye is staying at their ranch in Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
And he went and got his 500 pairs of shoes.
So does she want any of the ranch in Wyoming?
No.
Okay.
I think that's kind of what they're settling on right now.
All right. Well, listen, it was a weird relationship anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So 500 pairs of sneaks? I would think he would have more than 500.
Yeah.
That seems like a low number.
That seems low.
For a guy like Kanye, yeah.
I got like
Kanye,
two.
Yeah. Well, you're not Kanye.
I'm not Kanye.
A lot of other celebrities that have a lot more than that.
Yeah.
That are sneak connoisseurs.
You need all four.
Well, you know,
you're out in the public and
like,
whatnot.
It's like a collector. It's like, you know, maybe you collect beer cans. I don't know.
Stamp collector.
Some people collect stuff. You know, and sneakers are like an item that you collect.
Which, by the way, speaking of shoes, Mike, you at some point today you have to talk to Andrew about his shoelaces.
We got funky shoelaces.
He's got a shoelace situation.
Yeah, you know, we'll have a break. I just went through a shoelace.
Natalie
informed me of said shoelace, but I don't want to step on Natalie's segment. We can get into that.
Okay, all right.
So apparently yesterday, Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield posted on Twitter and said that he and his wife saw a UFO while driving on Wednesday night. This was the tweet. It said, almost 100% Em and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky toward Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? Nobody really responded to confirm or deny whether it was a UFO, but do you believe in aliens, Mike?
No, I do not. I do not believe in UFOs. I don't believe there's any life forms on any other planet. I may be naive, but I think that what he saw was like a flash of light because of an atmospheric condition and not a UFO.
Not a UFO. Well, he's not the only quarterback who's ever seen one. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers thought that he saw a UFO, but it ended up turning out to be a fighter jet.
Yeah, the reason why I don't believe in the UFOs is because I think that they would have wanted to be known by now. If they were actually landed. Like, what would be the big secret to the UFO?
We're not ready for them yet.
Well, I'm saying they don't care if we're ready for them. Why wouldn't they just land?
I mean, they might.
Well, they haven't.
Well, maybe they see Earth. Maybe they see Earth and they go, this place sucks.
Yeah, they're like, why would we want to go there?
I'm going back to my place.
I'm going back to Jupiter.
Some friendly stroll through the galaxy. They might want to touch down, but none of them have.
I hope they do.
All right.
I'll host them. All right, and last but not least, a Spanish rapper has been arrested for cutting off his roommate's penis to make a viral video. With a 12-inch kitchen knife, Aaron Beltran was sentenced to 4.5 years in prison for carrying out the grisly act. He cut off his roommate's penis, an Oxford-educated British teacher, after they made a deal to get paid for every time the amputation video was shared on the internet. So they were in on it. On March 8th, 2019, both men were in the victim's bedroom in Spain. He tied his pajama cord around the bottom to avoid hemorrhaging, and they sat and then they chopped it off.
What?
Yes. Which was never found because he got rid of it.
He got rid of what? The cutting?
Yes, the penis.
Well,
what?
Yeah.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
I have no speech.
Yeah.
When it comes to this.
So they agreed to do it because they wanted the video to go viral and they would split the ad revenue from the video.
So, all right, let's just presume they're going to get wealthy by this.
Yeah.
Is wealth worth having
No.
I don't know. Maybe it is to some people.
No.
What's that?
They were able to reattach it.
Oh, they were? I thought you said the thing was gone.
Well, no, they said...
The cutting was gone. Why did it happen? He disposed of it. They found it again?
That's what they said. Oh, yeah, and then they found it.
Oh, and they reattached it.
Oh, they couldn't find the knife. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So
they couldn't find the knife. They found the penis. They reattached it.
Oh, he probably did some research on the reattachment and probably felt that it would not be a problem.
Right.
Be reattached and being able to take advantage of
Well, it's fully functional, and they each got $3,000 from it.
That's not worth it. That's not worth it.
But even though it was consensual, the amputation was consensual, he still did time. So he's just been released, so watch out.
Yo, bro, I got a great idea. You want to make some cash? Like, how did that conversation happen?
Was there anesthetic involved?
Nope. No, that's what it says. They tied. I just didn't know if this was too vulgar.
Bro, I picked up some
tied
batty lights.
His pajama cord around the bottom to avoid the hemorrhaging.
Did it have to be in a certain state in order to get a clean cut?
There's no details on that. I mean, however, I would think if they're tying the bottom of it, then there would be some sort of flow, right, to the nether regions.
Yeah. Well.
So
That's very strange.
That's all for Nat.
That made me queasy. The end of Nat's news today made me queasy.
I need to go to church.
So there you go. That's Nat's news, folks. Let's take a quick break on that note, and we'll come back with your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, Louisa for you. That's right. It's Mike Missinelli Show. No, wait. What's that? Darkness?
This is the darkness.
Okay, yeah. Is this the song you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. I liked this song.
Yeah. He dropped a guitar in this one.
Does he go?
Yeah.
After the whole song.
Guitar. Does he say that?
Yes.
He does?
Yeah.
All right. The chorus comes up and then he plays it.
When's the guitar come up? Did it take a while for guitar to come up?
I'll tell you, 7 seconds is my guess.
Oh, yeah,
right, here it comes.
All right, listen up.
Oh,
Yeah, see, I never understood that. Guitar! All right. Let's go back to the phones. Mike and Yardley. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, Mike. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I love your show.
Thanks, buddy.
First of all, you couldn't pay me $100 million to cut my penis off.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a wise move.
Yeah, that's crazy.
$100 million, though? Dude.
Not even for $100 million. Yeah. I agree.
And for $100 million, I get duct tape. Seriously, that's $100 million. That's a little different. They made $3,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
All right.
Second of all, Natalie, I love you. I think you're the best. The other day, you guys were talking about Alec Baldwin having kids, and if you were an older man dating a younger woman, mm-hmm. would you go through it if she wanted kids?
Yeah, yeah.
Nat, by the grace of God, if we ever get together, I would have kids with you. So,
good. That's creepy. That's kind of creepy, man. Come on, Mike.
Skeeve me.
Yeah, that's a skeeve.
Well, I just wanted to know that. But my real point is Sixers point, Mike. I got to defend Joel and call out Keith Pompey on his article. It's why people have a problem with journalists. Joel called him out about, you know, his article saying he was scared of playing centers. So what does he do? He makes a story about himself again, writes another story today, you know, about Joel not playing against some of the top centers. You know, it's what's wrong with
journalists? Why? Wait, because first of all, journalist is not a fan, right? So you're looking at it from a different viewpoint. You're looking at it like he insulted your player. If he's pointing out what something is factual, then why is that a journalistic problem?
Well, because here's my problem. And mm-hmm. I did study journalism, and I know you did too, and I've worked with journalists my whole life. But my point is that, you know, he wasn't objective, right? He had to write the story.
Why wasn't he objective if he pointed out factually that he hasn't played against some of the centers?
What would be factual is if he had a statement from someone who said Joel sits out when he plays against good players. He just made that opinion based off some of the times when Joel sits out, they happen to be playing.
He's first of all, he's not a columnist, so I don't think he wrote an opinion piece. I'd have to look at it to see what you're talking about. But I think that you're rounding it off. Like he was pointing out that maybe people accused Joel of not playing against the other players. I don't think he was saying, oh, look, he doesn't play against bigger players. That would not be Keith Pompey as a beat writer. It wouldn't be his style to write a story like that.
And then the timing of the story, it comes right after Joel called him out on a press conference, so Keith's making it about himself. Just write the facts. Just be objective.
I have to look at the story, but I think that you're maybe confusing because he offended you as a fan by pointing out that I don't remember. It was in Today? I thought I read all the stories today. I didn't read.
No, the initial story was a few weeks ago. I think it was the first time they played the Jazz, and that's when Embiid didn't play. And Keith asked about it and was like, hey, what do you make about...
He
asked Doc Rivers about it.
Okay.
Like, what do you make about Joel Embiid not playing against the best centers because he missed the game against Drummond this year, mm-hmm. he missed the game against Gobert the first time around, and you go, all right, well...
I don't think Keith Pompey is making a statement that Joel doesn't play against the top centers. But what he may have been doing is, because you hear people talking, we hear people talk about that all the time on Sports Talk Radio. So apparently it's an issue to a fan base. So as a journalist, just like me, I know what people are talking about with a certain person. I will have to address that with that person in an interview. And I think that Keith obviously is hearing that some members of the fan base were complaining that he wasn't playing against the top players. So it's his duty to ask about that. That's a good journalist, actually.
Yeah, and maybe you could get the answer. I'm just throwing this out there that they go, I know Doc Rivers wouldn't have said this weeks ago when it came up, but let's face it, Embiid played 40 minutes yesterday, and he does the load management.
I don't understand what he says. That's what's wrong with journalism today. There are two different journalistic viewpoints here. One is you have a columnist opinion. The other is that you're covering the team as a beat. And they're both different. So, but you also have your ear out there and you are listening to what people say about the team, about certain players. So it is then your duty to ask those points, about those points. But we'll have Keith on. He's coming on today, so we'll ask him. Dane in Collegeville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dane.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike.
What's up, Dane?
Nothing much. Solid W by the Sixers yesterday.
Monster win.
No complaints. Everybody kind of did their part, what they needed to do. That shot by Embiid, I'm not going to lie, when they were down five, I texted one of my buddies, yo, I think it's over. But, you know, you have to play out the whole game, watch it all play out. And in the end, when he hit that three-pointer, you could see it in their body language that they wanted it a little bit more in that overtime, where the Saturday overtime, when he took that step back and missed that shot on the baseline, you could see that they were like, oh, man, we got to go to overtime. I don't want this.
Yeah, I think the Jazz felt that last night.
My second point, though, is, Mike, the over-the-top crying for fouls and the exaggeration, throwing the hands in the air. Like, it's every single NBA team. It's every single night.
It's every play. It's every foul. It's ridiculous.
Nobody fouls. We all love basketball, and you want to watch the basketball, but the level of crying is just absurd, I think. I get it. Refs miss calls. People miss calls. But it can't be on every single play that we're in this drama throwing your hands in the air. It's just not
Here's the thing. I think fans would rather have players complain than rather have than officials tightening up and calling technicals.
Correct.
Because it's all about watching the player.
I don't want technical fouls, Mike. I don't want the best player thrown out of the game. But if it's a foul, it's just a foul, and that's just the bottom line. Now, you have another point that you're talking about, which you wanted to see. You said, I need a reasonable-minded young man.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that in any situation, Mike, the Phillies should have just cut bait with Herrera. I mean, if you think what's transpired since Ray Rice did what he did, and he's never seen the NFL again. I'm not saying that you should never be able to work again, but the message that it sends to, like you said, your female fan base, the players that are out there, it sends the wrong message. And to me, it's just a society that we're in where it's almost like, well, if I hide him for a year and I bring him back out, nobody's going to remember. But the people who actually were in it, they remember, Mike. Thanks for taking my
call. All right, man. And that's my whole point. Like, there is no reason that's bigger than the infraction. There's no reason to keep them that's bigger than the infraction. And again, I'm not trying to put a guy in the depths of hell here. He's going to be able to find a job at some other team. It just gives this area a bad look if the Phillies are trying to kind of slide this through. It's offensive, frankly, to me. All right, so we're in 4 o'clock hour. Keith Pompey will join us. I don't know. Our caller had to be confusing Keith Pompey with a columnist. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't remember Keith Pompey authoring anything that was a statement that Embiid was afraid to play against the tough centers. Do you?
No, I just remember him asking the question.
It
was kind of an open-ended question.
Wait, this was last night?
No, the first time they played the Jazz, when Ben went off for 42, Embiid didn't play that game, and it was a notion that he hadn't been playing against some of the bigger centers in the league.
Well, what do you do today, though? I'm reading everything you wrote today.
No, I saw nothing today.
Yeah,
I read everything today, too.
About.
Yeah.
Well, we'll straighten it out. Keith Pompey's coming up at 4, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. All right, Sixers with a monster win last night. everybody loved that ending as the Sixers work to get to, they're trailing the whole game. They work to get it, stay close, and then Embiid takes over, ties the game in overtime. They survive a last second shot, and they frankly dominated the overtime and beat Utah, a very good team. So for some enlightenment on that win last night, what it means, and we go deeper with Embiid and everybody. Keith Pompey covering the Sixers for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He is on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Keith.
Yo, what's up, Mike? How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. So tell me about last night and what that kind of a win means.
I mean, it's a huge win for the Sixers. I mean, especially from a confidence boost. I mean, you look at how Tobias Harris played well. You know, Ben Simmons didn't do much scoring-wise in the overtime. But, you know, he had 17 points. I mean, I think the fact that they had all three of their stars produce at different times. And for Joel Embiid, I mean, I think, you know, right now, you know, if he wasn't, he is the front runner for MVP because, you know, he dominated Rudy Gobert. So I think from all different standpoints, it was a great win. I mean, it's not every day that you beat the number one team in the league, you know?
Yeah, well, how's a team beat a team that makes 21 threes? That was astounding to me, how they could even stay in that game, man, with the other team shooting 48% from three.
You know, and that was funny because there was one point where they were 10 for 20 on threes. The Sixers were 1 for 8. And you're like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? And but you know what? I think the reason they were able to do it was because of Embiid. You know, and then they had a couple defensive stops. You know, I mean, I just think it was a good game. And if you look at it, you know, Doc Rivers did a really good job of coaching, you know, managing it. You know, it was just a good all-around win for the Sixers.
Yeah, the one thing early on that I noticed, when he tried a complete second unit, and it really looked feeble. And so in the second half, he did get a lift from his bench, but he interspersed guys in there as long as he had some starters on there. Did he learn a lesson last night about, you know, playing too many bench guys at once?
You know, that's a tough question, Mike, because, you know, every time you see it, you keep saying, uh-oh, uh-oh. And whenever I look at it, I always look at it, you know, it's like one of those things, I got to buy these minutes. You know, I have to get Ben and Joel and a couple guys out of there, and we're going to go in there and we're going to steal 5 minutes. Like, it's one of those things where you say to yourself, like, okay, we got a 10-point lead, but as long as we have a 4-point lead, by the time they come back in, I'm happy, you know? Mm-hmm. So, again, but to me, it's like if you notice, they're really successful, and you hate for Joel and Ben and Tobias to play amount of minutes, but it seems like they're really successful when you have Joel and Ben out there in a lineup with Furkan, Shake, and Mike Scott, because it seems like all the focus is on Ben and Joel, and these other guys are getting easy shots. But at the same time, you don't want to keep that lineup because you're going to tire your two stars out.
Let's look at what Donovan Mitchell had to say after the game. I want to get your viewpoint in this. And they had 24 fouls, the Sixers 17. And he said, it's tough to go out there to see how we fight and compete. And I'm never one to blame a ref, but this is getting out of hand. What was your opinion on that?
I mean, I thought it was bad on both sides. I mean, the calls. And I'm not, you know, the refs, I just felt like it was bad on both sides. There was plays that happened to the Sixers. And you would say, wow, no call. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just seems like, you know, I get it. You know, late in the game, you know, he had that charge. It was controversial. You know, there was a couple other plays that happened. But believe me, man, it was kind of sketchy on both sides. Just as much as they were yelling and complaining with the refs, the Sixers were doing the same thing.
And you know what's funny, Keith? I don't know, like, what's the solution to this? Because you're hearing more and more that, like, is there an NBA officials problem? Is it bad officiating right now? But the other thing is, like, this game is so fast, and these guys are just so big. They collide all the time. You could practically call a foul in every possession. And when they do call a foul, no one in the NBA has ever committed a foul. I've never seen a higher level of tolerance, frankly, from the officials.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, it's actually, Mike, it's like I laugh because you go to these games now and where you're sitting at and there's not any fans in the stands up until, you know, this week, whatever.
you can see the players after every play go over there and argue and say they're fouled. You know what I mean? And like you say, like the refs, like, wow, you're listening to this? I mean, it's to a point where everyone yells at the refs. Now, when it's packed in there, like you really can't like read lips or you can't really hear what they're saying. But right about now, you see it. Like at one point, there was a timeout, right, where Ben and Joel was like trying to explain something to the ref. And it got to a point where Doc had to say, come on, y'all, come on. But it was like that the whole game.
Yeah, it's the histrionics that go on for any foul is at its highest level. All right, let me talk to you about Embiid, because we had a caller say that, I didn't notice anything that you wrote today about that or even mentioned about this concept that, Embiid had a one-up last night because he has been accused of ducking the bigger centers, the well-known centers. And I believe you asked him about that, and did you get some blowback from him on that?
I didn't ask him. What happened is I wasn't in there. I wasn't on their Zoom call because I had to talk to the league because everyone was complaining about the officials. So I was a pool reporter, mm-hmm. Talking to the people in Secaucus. But what I heard was that he said that I said he was scared of certain players.
Uh-huh.
Now, I never said that. He knows I never said that. I took it as if he used me as motivation.
Yeah.
Because the fact remains is, like, we all know this. There was a time when Joel missed games, and the games that he missed, they were against elite centers.
Yeah.
Right? That's a fact.
Right.
So what happens is, I think what could happen, if I'm Doc Rivers or somebody else, they're like, yo, the reporter mentioned who you missed the games against. So what you going to do? Are you going to come get him? So he had a great game. So he said that, I said some things, which I didn't. So, I took it. I'm kind of flattered, to be honest with you. Because if you want to use me as motivation, go ahead. And my thing is, if I'm the Sixers fans and I'm this and that, well, keep using me as motivation, because then he's going to continue to do what he does. So to me, I'm flattered by it. You know what I mean? I really am.
So last night, his comments on that were aimed at you?
Come on, man. Yeah, they were. I mean, they were aimed at me and Howard. Yeah, he was like, but he said, he said, again, I wasn't there. But
yeah.
Of course, you can see the video. But
yeah.
The thing is, yeah, he was like, he said that I said he was scared.
Yeah.
Which I never said. But at the same time, if you use that to get you fired up, that's cool. Like, again, that's cool.
Listen, man, you got to do your job. I mean, well, I explained it, like you have to point out facts that people are talking about, and people are a fan base is saying, well, he's intentionally missing games. I would think as a reporter, you would have to ask that question to somebody because it's a concern of fans, and that's you doing your job.
Exactly. But it wasn't like intentionally. It was just like, the question was, he missed these games. Is that a concern to you? That was
yeah.
the question.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I mean? So, it is what it is, Mike.
No, I hear you. All right, Dale, just quickly looking at the second half of this team, a very compressed schedule, a tougher schedule. Will we find out more about this team in this condensed area? And then with the trading deadline looming, do you expect that this team will be different at the end of this month?
I expect that the team will be different at the end of this month. I know this was a great win for them, but when you look at this team, you pointed out something early on, like how, this bench, when they go with the five backups, they tend to lose leads. I look at the Sixers and I think that, they need some additional ball handling. I think they need some help in the post and the backup. So, I look for this team. I don't know if they're going to be able to go out there and make a blockbuster deal, because in order to make a blockbuster deal, sometimes you got to give up something that you really don't want to. But I do look at this team, and with Daryl Morey's history, just put it this way, I'll be shocked if the guys that we see on the roster now will remain here by April. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just don't see it.
All right. We'll see what happens. I can't wait to see what he's going to pull out of his hat, Daryl Morey. I mean, this is he's on, the spotlight's on him, Keith.
Yeah. I mean, it is. But you know what? It was one of these things. I remember, like, early on, I always thought that the moves that they made, and, you know, the moves that they made, I always felt like, okay, this is for this year. And then next year, they're going to have some money available, and they're going to be able to go get someone. And I always felt like, you know, this team was maybe a four, anywhere from a four to a six seed, right?
Yeah.
I felt that way. But then they got out and they start winning. And all of a sudden, then all the excitement came. But at the same time, it's like now, it's like beforehand, it could have been like, oh, we just want to just relax and chill. But now it looks like they have to make something because of all the excitement and all the buzz that's happening right now.
I got you. Now, I think I talked about this before. You were an anti-process guy, right?
Initially I was with it. And then when the third year came, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. All right. I just want to say to the people that were anti-process, no process, no Embiid, no Embiid, no 40-19 last night. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, but Embiid was the second year of the process though.
Yeah, but still, you know, it's still the process. You got to get that high draft pick. All right, man, listen, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
All right, bye.
All right, Keith Pompey on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, so if you look at the schedule as they come out of the All-Star break, first seven games, six of them are in back-to-back situations.
Yeah, they got
to
touch.
They don't look that tough, but back-to-back out of the shoot at Bulls, at Wizards. Back-to-back is tough, both on the road. Then San Antonio wedges a game in there. And then a back-to-back against the Knicks and Milwaukee on the
17th. Yeah, second end of the back-to-back is tough.
And then another back-to-back follows that with Sacramento and at Knicks. All right, we'll see. First seven games are pretty interesting.
But then there's one stretch where I think it's six straight road games, or it might be eight straight road games.
It is. It is actually six straight road games.
But then they're home, and it's a back-to-back, and then they're back out on the road for four.
That is correct. So
it's like, come on, NBA?
The six are at Knicks, at Golden State, at Los Angeles, two games, Clippers, Lakers-Clippers. Then on the way back, at Denver, at Cleveland. And then they get a back-to-back off of that with Minnesota-Memphis. And then four more at Boston, at New Orleans, at Oklahoma City, at Dallas.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's tough. We'll see what they're made of. Mike Bisnelli, show. Here's how you get in, 610-632-0975. Ben in Upper Darby. What's up, Ben?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing,
thanks
Ben?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm all right. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Sixers. I agree with everything that was just said. Statement win last night. Such a good win. Probably the most exciting game that I've seen this season so far. You were talking about the process a little bit, and saying like the process produced Embiid. Mm-hmm. I still get like the shivers when I think about them taking Parker or Wiggins over Embiid and like how that would have turned out.
Yeah. So, but again, without the process, no Joel, no Ben.
Definitely. And obviously they made the right decision. I honestly called because I wanted to throw into the joke band conversation.
What do you got?
Despite the Sixers from last night. So I agree with some of what the three of you said, but I also fundamentally disagree with what makes a joke band, right? Like, I think a band can have fun with a song and cannot take themselves seriously, but I don't know if that makes them a joke band.
Well, that's Weezer. Like not necessarily a joke band because they have producers.
That's
but Cake. Come on, man.
Cake, yeah. Flight of the Conchords, definitely. Tenacious D, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, like a Weird Al Yankovic, joke bands.
Yes.
But to say that even Fountains of Wayne is a joke band because of the one song that was a little bit silly is akin to saying that like the Beatles are a joke band because Maxwell's Silver Hammer exists.
So Natalie offended your Fountains of Wayne sensibilities.
Sorry. It's okay. Right. Like, but for Fountains of Wayne, besides Stacey's Mom, I know that was like what got all the acclaim in that album.
Yeah.
But another song that I would recommend you listen to from that album is quite beautiful, in my opinion. It's called Valley Winter Song.
All right, Nat. That'd be a lesson to you, Nat. Nat's on it.
I am.
Nat is
on
it.
I apologize to the Fountains of Wayne fans.
Yes, there you go.
No.
Yes, that's your bells.
See, I just hated this song, so when you said joke band, it was the first thing that popped into my mind. No offense. I'm sure they have other great work. You know, it's my fault.
Yeah, well. You know, I got to say that Cake repels me more than probably any other band.
Yeah.
She's going the distance. You know, come on, man. Seriously, with that.
It's going for speed, man. Come on now.
Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys.
What's up, buddy?
Big game tonight for the Flyers against the Pens. You know, it's these back-to-backs, and I guess they have three in a row. It's interesting how much more chippy the games get as they go on. You know, I guess the familiarity, the defenders are playing the same guys, they're hitting the same guys, and it, they really, the refs are going to have their hands full.
You know, the Flyers are a slight favorite tonight.
You like are it? They really?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
Last time I looked, I have to recheck it, but last time I looked, they were the fave. That's telling. Wow. A little revenge situation.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, to me, they're not as strong on the puck as they need to be.
Yeah, now you're a complainer too. I got to admit, Greg, they can't do right by you, can they?
No, I mean, I want them to do well. Uh-huh. I'm just, to me, it seems like, you know, just like we're talking the Sixers.
Yeah, they're not a perfect team. They're not, but they're good. And, you know, I think that we're shortchanging them. We're shortchanging their ability when the playoffs come around. I think they're going to be really a solid contender.
Do you think that, I don't know what the hockey trade situation is. Do you think they'll look for a...
Yes.
Like,
yeah, I do. I think they're actually looking for somebody now.
Because it seems like they could use a bigger body, somebody stronger...
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Hang in there. -125 tonight. Over or under six.
Have to think about that one.
That's a Flyer line tonight in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there
you go. They're letting the fans in over there in Pittsburgh. -125. You like that, Chudas? You like the Flyboys tonight?
I do, yeah. The little bounce back spot. I think they played uninspired hockey in game
telling
one.
That line. That's a little telling to me.
5-2.
I might have to throw in.
Yeah, I think the Flyers win tonight. And then you do the rubber match.
Yeah, I think I'll click that right now. My bet rivers.
How's that right?
I just click it right now. Yeah.
All right, listen, Nelly Locke.
What's the, like, can you give me the lyrics of that Cake song?
No.
What's the first line? First line.
She's going the distance.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping, thumping in time. The green light flashes. The flags go up.
That's it.
Turning and burning, they yearn for the cup.
See, you know it.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go Anthony in Harrisburg. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Hello. So we all like the 76ers, right? They look like a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what could make them even better?
What's that?
And just hear me out. Hear me out. So if somehow the Sixers and Lakers could work out a trade, Simmons for Dudley.
You do this all the time, and you last about 10 seconds, and I don't know what I could do for your life, man. I think that maybe you should like take a class or something. You know, I don't get this dude. He does it every time. It's like we're not going to catch on, and he gets his 10 seconds worth of yo, man. I pumped Mikey Miss today.
He has to wait for so long.
Come on, man, grow up. Just do a little grow up.
You have any hobbies?
All right. 610-632-09. Get a girlfriend. Do something.
Something.
No. Have a freaking glass of milk. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
man, this song just, I don't know, it gets into my soul, this song. I don't know what it is.
I like this one, too.
Anyway, it's time to update our Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Alrighty, Mike, today's Twitter poll has over, where did it go? Oh, it was not pinned. Over 900 votes on it so far. Are the Sixers championship contenders as currently constructed? 55% say yes, 45% say no. So,
Alrighty. By the way, I'm completely unaware of this Keith Pompey controversy here. We just had Keith on, and so on Twitter, in social media, he's getting slammed on social media. Listen, I know how fans react. It's like the media is the enemy, and they're going against your player, even if they just point out facts that isn't 100% fan oriented, right? And journalists aren't supposed to be fanboys. So he tweeted something after 2 o'clock today.
Yeah, so he tweeted out a story at 2:06. So it was after we were on the air.
Okay.
And the tweet reads, no, Joel Embiid isn't scared, but he's missed his share of games against the NBA's top centers.
So he must be getting accused of saying that Joel Embiid's scared.
Right.
And so people are coming at him. But all he's doing was being to point out some facts, because people have pointed out that same fact to me. Like, even fans.
Yeah, so
he had players, he's ducking the top players.
I'm looking at his game logs. So, he missed Cleveland, which is Drummond. He missed Denver, which is Jokic. Memphis, which is my boy, Valanciunas. He missed the Pistons, which, you know, whatever. Pacers, Sabonis, and then the first game against Utah, which was Gobert.
Yeah.
So, well, listen, you know.
Whatever does it for guys, you know, sometimes it's like they have to self-motivate, and They'll use various tools to self-motivate. In Ben Simmons' case, it's usually guys who have been with Kendall, either before or after him. With a guy like Embiid, it's, I've made this reporter accuse me of not playing against tough competition. Whatever does it for them, knock the stuff out, you know?
Right, and because Embiid said something during his press conference yesterday.
Yeah, I just think you have to understand what the role of the journalist is in exploring various angles to be complete as possible in covering the team. All right, 610-632-0975. Let me go over some Phillies highlights today. They waffled the Yankees 15-0. A home run first by Kingery in the first inning. Second inning, Odubel Herrera hits a home run and bat flips it. Mickey Moniak, who replaced Herrera, hit two home runs today.
You are twice.
Nick Matone had a three-run double, and Luke Williams, the young third baseman corner infielder dude, had a couple of knocks and three RBIs. Did he have a home run too, Luke Williams?
I don't think
so. Yes, he did.
Oh, he did.
Luke Williams hit a home run in the seventh inning. And Bohm also had his first today.
Dead center. Shot.
A three-run bomb?
Yeah, dead center.
That's his first hit of the spring, by the way.
I'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, 15-0. So they loaded up today. Your pitchers, Matt Moore, two scoreless. Vinny, four innings, two scoreless with three strikeouts. Kinsler scores scoreless inning. Mitchell, scoreless inning. I don't even know who Mitchell is. Mitchell, scoreless inning with two strikeouts. Brian Mitchell, they got him from the White Sox. He's 29-year-old. He's a journeyman. Okay. So he won't make the team. Ramon Rosso with a scoreless inning with two punch outs. And Yanoa, a scoreless inning as they blank the Yankees today.
Rosso's one of those fake mid-90s guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that used him in the first game last year. Misguidingly used him in the first game where he was scared to death and never got it back.
Yeah, threw a curveball about 45 feet.
Paisley 0 for 2 today. And Moniak and Odubel, center field contenders. Listen, we talked about Odubel. I think it's outrageous, but I'm not running the team, and they'll have to decide for themselves what they're going to do here. I think it's a really bad look. Tim in Lehigh Valley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
How are you, Mike?
Hello, Tim.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to make a comment about Embiid. I don't think there's ever been a center ever who could do all the things that he does. Like that. Like, for a 7-foot center to do the step back three last night, that's incredible.
Well, getting the ball, then having to dribble to that spot, first of all, having to go kind of backstep it and get to the line, it is amazing. And I would have loved to have Shaquille O'Neal on after that game and see what he had to say about that.
Oh, I agree, Mike. I don't mean to be negative here, but defensively, I just wish he would guard that screen a little bit better because guards get too many open shots.
Well, he guarded a pick and roll in the guts of that game last night. He took a lob right away from him.
Yes. Now, Mike, my last thing is the Adubal thing. I agree with the outrage. I wish it was universal outrage. The only thing that bothers me, Mike, is if it's a great player, I don't think we have the same sense of ultimate disdain. In other words, if Embiid did something like that, I think we would be angered, but I don't think we would want him out of town.
Well, unfortunately, that's right. Now, it's a subjective judgment because people, at the end of the day, a fan wants his team to win, right?
Yeah.
And so, if we have to cross that bridge, we will get to it when we get to it. This bridge is already in front of us. And the fact is, it's not a great player, which should make it like a no-brainer to move this thing on.
Yeah. I just wish, like I said, I would be more on board if this was a universal outrage, but I think it's a selective outrage.
No, I get it, and I can't change that part of it because it's human nature for fans to love their star players.
I know. But thanks for letting me comment.
All right, man. There you go. No, it's troubling that's the standard. But like I say, that's not an issue right now. The issue is right in front of us. It's blatant. And if they were trying to, I don't even know what they're trying to do. I almost think they were trying to make him fail so they can make it easy. But when you do that, you're taking a major chance that the opposite would happen. And then what? Then you're going to justify to your fan, oh, look, he hit 350 this spring. We got to keep him. And you know what? Fans will buy that. And that's the problem. Sometimes you got to take it out of the fan's hands because the fan has less power than you. The fan is weaker than you. The fan is interested in winning games with the best players. They're not going to make the moral stand. You're responsible for making the moral stand as the owner of the entity. Take it out of the fans' hands. John in Newcastle, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, John?
You mind if I switch up and talk a little draft?
Sure.
You know, I was thinking, I've been thinking about the draft, and I don't know if Hurts is the guy, and my gut tells me he's not the guy, but I hope they give him a chance this year, and to give him a real chance, you got to give him some weapons. So I was thinking about my dream draft. So my dream draft would be either get Chase or Smith, the wide receivers, or even you trade down a couple spots and pick Pitts. And then what I really want them to do, and I don't think they will, but I think they're going to run the ball a lot more this year, Sirianni. So I need more than Boston Scott as my number two. And I love Harris out of Alabama. He's a beast.
Yeah, I like Najee Harris too. He's a late first rounder, it looks like.
That's what I'm thinking is they got that early second round pick. So you grab a wide receiver and then you just maybe sneak back up into the back end of the
Or you trade back, take a cornerback, and then take Najee Harris with an extra pick that you get.
Yeah. I mean, I just hope they just because what are we going to learn about him if he goes out there with the same people he had this year?
Listen, they also one player is not going to help him. So even if they got Devontae Smith or Chase, does that really help him enough?
No.
I actually think Kyle Pitts would help them more than those wide receivers would because you can utilize him from down one in a double tight set.
You can put him all over the place, matchups and stuff like that. I just really hope they address the running back position with another. And I like that Travis Etienne, too. He almost reminds me of Alvin Kamara. I just hope that, I don't know. I'm kind of hoping they come out with a running back, too, in the first couple of rounds. I think they just need more than Miles Sanders.
I agree. I totally agree.
They need another.
I agree.
So,
all right, buddy.
All right, man. Hey, real quick on Odubel, you're right. Got to get rid of him. I don't know what they're doing. He's going to hit listen, Murphy's Law. He's going to hit 780 this spring with 10 home runs. And you got to get rid of him. Just trade him. Eat the money. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know if there is any kind of a market for him. And maybe that's what's holding him up, that they don't want to admit that they can't get value for the guy. But you know what? It's things like that happen. You didn't expect it to happen. You gave him a contract. You got to bite it. Sometimes it doesn't work out, and you just got to eat it. I don't know what their end game is here. Is their end game, they're so weak in center field that they have to have Odubel Herrera here? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
I don't know what their aim is.
And
the rationale Joe Girardi put up there is flimsy. Well, everybody deserves a second. No, you don't deserve a second. When you do something like that, you don't deserve a second chance. Let somebody else deal with it. Wash your hands of this situation. They respect your fan base. Respect the people that are offended by this. All right, and we are wide open, so this is really a good time to come in. Whether you have some views on Odubel Herrera, on the Sixers as they go into the All-Star break, on the Phillies who won 15-0 today, or the Flyers in a monster game against the Penguins, I just put a couple shekels on it.
That's official.
I double test. I hit that place bet button.
Let's go work at you.
Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:45 on the Mike Missinelli Show. There's a couple of parallels in the media. I want to try to make a point here. And my point is that we are, I believe, growing as a society. It took a long time, but right now we are at a high point moment in growing as a society. In other words, we are drawing the line. We have grown as a human race, and we are saying some things are just not acceptable. So I was looking at a couple of stories. The one involves the Creighton coach, McDermott, Dougie McBucket's father, who got in trouble and tried to apologize immediately after by telling his team that we have to stay on the plantation. So he used that reference. Now, when you use a reference like that, it's just like that Kelly Tillman way back in the day for the Golf Channel, where she said Tiger Woods is so dominant on the tour that his fellow PGA competitors need to take him in the alley and lynch him. Now, she said that many years ago. That comes from somebody who has absolutely no experience with other cultures. That somebody who lives in a white world and would not understand that using a word like that would be totally irrational and ridiculous. And this Doug McDermott, his father, same thing. When you make a reference like that, you have absolutely... Here's the guy that deals with African-American athletes. He's coaching college basketball. And even he resorted to that kind of thing. Now, I move it in this other story. It's out of Chicago. There's a sports anchor who's been there for a really long time. His name is, some Italian last name. Let me just find it here. Mark Giangreco. Now, Mark Giangreco goes on and says something about, he called, he referenced the news anchor, Cheryl Burton, as ditzy. Mm-hmm. So now they're gonna remove him. He hasn't been on the air in a long time, and they're making a settlement with him. This guy's been a long time Chicago guy, right? So my point is that we are actually saying things now are not acceptable. All right. So if that can happen in Chicago, this guy said that it's not acceptable because he absolutely just completely ignored dignity for women. By like, she must be ditzy. You know, he calls her that. So now, like, we're fighting here for Odubel Herrera. This is a guy who was involved in domestic violence. Not a quip, not a word on the air. Domestic violence. He's in the lineup today. So as we're trying to gain strength and eliminate these kind of attitudes where we're judging others as lesser, here come the Phillies with Odubel Herrera. And I don't understand it. So that's, I know that people are out there saying, well, you're always on your moral high horse. It's a matter of right and wrong to me. And it's really simple to see what's right over wrong. So that's where the Odubel Herrera conversation comes in.
But I feel like it's important to address it, because how many other people are actually talking about it in this town right now? And if you don't address it, this is how it keeps happening. Somebody has to stand up and say it's not right. Like, that's how progress is made. That's how all these things that you've just talking about, using the word plantation, insulting a woman's intelligence by using the word ditzy. There's a line that needs to be drawn, and unless you bring attention to it, it's just going to keep happening. And you, it might be uncomfortable, and you might not want to acknowledge that, yeah, it's probably wrong, and you love the Phillies, and it's, you know, you want to give them a pass because you think that they're doing the right thing. But by ignoring it, it just sweeps it under a rug, and then that's how it continues, and that's how people continue to get hurt.
Yes. And then, like, this Mickey Callaway situation, which never ends. This guy who was the manager of the Mets, and he must
oh
be
my
one,
God.
He must be one of these baseball characters. Baseball is typical of this, where the boys club and baseball and spin tobacco and hanging out in the clubhouses when they five dudes. Like, that kind of thing. And he must be, like, one of these really popular baseball guys, because he keeps getting jobs. So now the latest thing, like, this guy hasn't had enough attached to him, right? The latest thing is that a husband, when he was the Cleveland Indians pitching coach for 5 years, a husband was telling the organization that this Callaway was messed up his life and he's having an affair with my wife and the whole thing. And they, like, completely swept it under the carpet. Now they're being accused of sweeping it under the carpet. And interestingly enough, Terry Francona's son is one of the head guys pushing this issue.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Mickey Callaway. This guy
yeah,
must be
he's
immune.
Got a lot, man.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Kevin in Voorhees. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, I just wanted to... you're completely right about the whole Odubel thing. He shouldn't be on this team. My only question is, and maybe you would know a lot more than me, is does the players' union have something where the team has to let him play before they can cut him?
Last year, that applied contractually, where if the league suspended him, the team couldn't cut him. But that's over now. That period is over. They could do anything they want with him now.
Gotcha. All right. I thought that was still in play, and I thought that's why he was still in the lineup. But
they're going to have to pay his contract. If they release him, they have to pay his contract. And I think his salary at this point is $10 million. But that's the soup they find themselves in. They gave a contract to a bad guy.
Exactly. So at this point, you might as well just cut him, eat the $10 million, and just be done with the situation.
I think it's the right thing to do. It is. And now, if he gets another job, somebody pays him some money, that money comes off the $10 million you have to pay him.
Yeah. But, all right, no, I appreciate you answering my question. Mm-hmm. Have a good one.
All right, man. Thank you very much. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't play baseball ever again. Frankly, I don't think he has the right to play baseball ever again. Just like the only thing you have a right to is to live. But he'll get another job. Somebody will sign him. And that's fine. As long as he's not here. The other people have to make their own moral decisions. I think the Phillies have the responsibility to make their moral decision for their own fan base now on this guy. Lee in South Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lee.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Lee?
Great job, you guys. I've been listening to this for the last couple of days, and it all kind of coincides, like what you guys were talking about, I think it was yesterday, with Natalie, and they were trying to get a job in broadcasting. All of this has the same thing in common, and in my opinion, it's the owners and the people that own these establishments. They all have something in common. They're usually all older white men, and they have a certain perception when they're in their 70s that kind of cling to that female stay in your place, black people, you know, stay in your place, and they kind of, they all have that same thing in common, whether it's media owned or whether it's sports teams owned or owners of sports teams.
Yeah, I agree with you. But here's the thing. And like, I look at each individual owner, and I've spoken with John Middleton. I've had several conversations. He seems to be me to be a very aware man. Like, he doesn't seem to be this guy who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I know he inherited a business from his father, but he seems like a reasonable-minded guy, and that's why it's bugging me more.
But what are they hiring? And now, a lot of these owners will delegate. They'll hire a general manager or somebody to run the organization, and usually they'll hire somebody, and that somebody usually, and they'll usually hire people that look like them, that come from the same world, and a lot of times they have that same mentality.
And yeah, I get it, but he, like, listen, he's the guy who makes the bottom line decision. So I don't care who he's hired. He, to me, is a moral enough of a man to circumvent this whole thing and say, no, 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 we can't do this.
But I mean, even overall, you know.
I'm agreeing with your general point. I'm just saying when it comes to this situation, it's really surprising to me that a guy like John Middleton would not step in and say, we can't have this.
Let me ask you one question. You may know the answer to this. I don't know. When they sell franchises, whether it's NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, hockey, how do they, I know they vote on that, like, how do they delegate who's in the good old boy network, who's not? Because until that changes at the top, I mean, we've made a lot of progress, but until that changes, you won't really see that mass.
Oh, I know. Listen, I agree with you, but this is like anything else. It's a business where the people with the most money and are financially solvent are going to get approved by other owners. That's really what it comes down to. And very few teams are for sale anymore. I mean, there's a handful that people would never bail out on owning a professional team. It's just a cash cow. The asset will never decline. It has good resale value if that's what you want. With these guys and keep it in the family.
Yeah.
Hey, just look at the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah, and that little Lori, man, well, he's like a little Lord Fauntleroy. he's gonna get a team. All this stuff, like he went to all the private schools and went to a nice college. And it all didn't matter a hoot. Because at the end,
no.
Like his life is just like, you know, he has,
yep.
He has
set.
Can't even imagine.
Total path. I got a football team coming to me.
Ah.
5 o'clock hour is ahead. Two open lines, 610-622-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock, the Mike Missinelli Show, 5 o'clock hour, brought to us, guided door and window, brings it to us by any window or door, get the second one at 50% off plus interest free financing for up to 18 months. Just call guided door and window today, the number 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit goguida.com. Andrew Sachin is filling in for Tyrone today. Tyrone off for a couple days. Nice needed little break for Ty. The Sixers with a big win last night, going to the All-Star break with a head of steam, beat the Utah Jazz last night in fine fashion with a fantastic monster performance from Joel Embiid. The Phillies win 15-0 today in a home run fest down in Clearwater, and the Flyers tonight against the Penguins. Let me just take a little detour here. Let's talk about some of the sports books, Andrew.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about athletes, pro athletes who are sports announcers right now writing books, because their lives probably, with their athletic career, would enhance it. So that'd be readable. Let's go over some just long time. Would you be interested in a book that was written by Al Michaels?
Yeah,
yeah,
I would.
A long career. Venerable got a lot of stories.
Yeah, because you also read the leading up to the career. I read a Vern Lundquist book a few years ago, which was very interesting.
Al has a book out, I believe.
Okay.
Jim Nance.
Yes, of course. Okay. Being able to do the Masters and March Madness in a stretch of like 3 weeks,
Brent Musburger.
Yes, especially with the gambling stuff.
Okay.
Yes.
Joe Buck.
Of course.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Mike Tirico.
I like Mike Tirico, but I don't know Mike Tirico's story. Like, there's not like...
You know Joe Buck's story? Well, it'll be interesting about Joe Buck, right?
Well, the father, his father being a big broadcaster, so like, how did he transition to becoming a broadcaster? Yeah. Was it like, to me, Brent Musburger, you know the gambling aspect of it. Jim Nance has
Tirico doesn't do it for you.
I just don't know. Okay. What's Tirico's thing, other than Notre Dame?
Let's just throw in Stephen A.
Probably
have some interesting stories.
Yeah, probably. He spoke at Temple once and had a lot of interesting stuff to say.
The reason why I'm asking you this is because there's a book that just came out today. And it is called Kirk Herbstreit, Out of the Pocket.
Good morning, Herbie.
Now, I guess everybody can write a book.
Yeah.
Would you find a book by Kirk Herbstreit interesting at all?
No, it would have to be like Kirk's best college football stories.
Well, I'm sure it is that, but like, was that enough?
No.
I mean, is Kirk Herbstreit a big enough name to go, oh my God, look at that. It's on the shelves.
No, because again, it's like the Tirico thing. Like, what's the side story? I mean, maybe Tirico was coming up and Herbstreit came up struggling and all that kind of stuff. And okay, but I just don't know enough where I'm going to go, yes, I'm running to the store for that book.
$27.99.
That's a lot.
Written with Gene Wojciechowski. Out of the Pocket Football.
$27.99 hardcover?
Okay. Right. Out of the Pocket Football, Fatherhood, and College Game Day Saturdays. It's the book's called.
Now, that will make money. Because the College Game Day Saturdays, a lot of people will buy the book for that.
Listen.
I'm out.
I'm not trying to judge. I'm just trying to...
I'm out, but I know that'll get money. Out.
Natalie?
No, it doesn't pop off the shelf to me.
Yeah,
what's the juice?
Like, for me, I could never write a book, obviously, because it wouldn't have any national appeal at all. I could write a book that wouldn't be bought by, like, 500 people locally. But, like, I'm wondering if Kirk Herbstreit thinks that he's important enough to write a book that we sell nationally.
He must, or someone convinced him that he was.
Yeah, somebody told him he was.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Exton. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Yeah, before I start, I want to give a shout-out to Natalie. I enjoy her humor and her perspective.
She's delightfully talented.
Unbelievable.
How about that? Yes.
Now, Mikey, I have an issue with you. Mm-hmm. I lost hundreds of thousands of Twitter followers during the snowstorm when you mocked me for liking chunky soup.
Oh, I didn't mock you.
Well, I
just suggested that there's a lot of salt in there.
I
was concerned for your diet, my man. And like, you were going to live on chunky soup. And I'm going, that's a lot of sodium, my man.
No, I understand, but, I eat very well. I eat very, very well.
Yeah, I'm sure an occasional can of chunky soup would work. Yeah, you were making it sound like you were going to stock up the shelves with chunky soup and eat it every day during a pandemic.
Like a bomb shelter.
Yeah, whatever.
That was not going to happen.
Okay.
That's a winner thing.
All right, I got you.
All right, so you got to clarify me. You're a lawyer from Penn State or whatever. I'm a St. Joe's sociology major. Compare and contrast. Nobody's giving me a good answer with this. Brett Myers to Abdul Herrera.
Doable. I was against Brett Myers. I would have released him. There isn't a difference other than there's a police report on this one, and I don't believe there was one on Brett. It was just witnessed. So it's kind of the same thing. I wasn't a fan of Brett Myers. I wasn't a guy rooting for Brett Myers. In fact, I ripped the Phillies, and Ruben Amaro was the general manager. But when the story came out, they made it seem like, oh, my God, Brett's a victim. And they asked him whether he was too upset to pitch in 3 days. And I ripped him from here to kingdom come.
That's why I love you, Mike. I know I like your snarkiness, and please don't rip the Killers.
All right, man. Listen, I got a recipe right here. Campbell's Chunky Healthy Request Chicken Noodle. This is just chicken noodle.
Go ahead.
410 milligrams of sodium.
Uh-oh. Mike, I don't need it a lot, believe me.
I'm just telling you. All right? I mean, that's the thing with these processed foods. You might think a can of soup is healthy. They stock that with sodium, make it taste good.
What's the daily limit? Shouldn't you only have like 1,100? And that's high, right?
Around 12.
1,200 milligrams of sodium, right?
820 milligrams per can. 820 milligrams per can, that chunky soup. That can of chunky soup.
Oh, God.
It's a lot of salt.
It really is. I was trying to save my man. That's just chicken noodle. Imagine the other ones are probably higher in salt content.
Right, like those beef stews and stuff.
What did like Chef Boyardee have?
Chef Boyardee, what? Spaghetti?
Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs.
My fingers aren't even capable of typing.
I know, I'm sorry.
Chef Boyardee.
There was a time.
SpaghettiOs?
Yeah, spaghetti meatballs.
Okay.
There was a time where I did the 10 for 10 because I didn't really have much.
Hold on a second. You were eating that crap here?
Yeah, when I was working with you.
God. Really?
Yes.
Put
in the saucepan, heat right up.
750 milligrams of sodium.
I put on a few those days.
Oh, my God.
Is that that or hoagies?
Yeah, I used to work with a guy here who used to eat that. He used to go to Target and buy cases of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And bring in a can every day.
Really?
Yeah. Mike in the Northeast. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
So I want to shift to the Sixers a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing well, but it concerns me with Danny Green, man.
Yeah, he's
just not living up to expectations.
Well, what expectations did you have for Danny Green? I mean, he wasn't, you know, he was kind of a shot player when they got him. He was just going to be another force who could make a shot, a jump shot on the floor. I didn't expect much from him. He's 33 years old.
Yeah, I mean, a couple threes. I mean, at least.
Well, he does that. He makes a couple threes. He doesn't make enough, though. He can't, you know what's funny about him? Unless he is perfectly standstill, that shot's not going. It is amazing. I mean, it can't even, like, if somebody runs at him and he's like a half of ounce off balance, he's not going to make it.
Yeah, I agree. And he gets paid a lot, too, I think, right?
Yeah, he does. Listen, he's carved out a niche as a guy who's a veteran guy who knows how to win. He's been with winners, and he will occasionally make a shot, and supposedly he can defend. But at age 33, I've seen his defense really kind of, you know, go pot.
You think him combined with anybody will bring us any value in a shooter?
Well, it's going to have to be him to get traded because the contract, it's going to have to be he and Mike Scott to make up that kind of salary to bring back a guy that's worth anything.
Yeah. Anybody you have eyeing up besides Lowry, from what I hear?
No, they're talking about the guy from Sacramento, Bijalika, and... what other guard are they talking about, Andrew? George Hill, like a veteran guy who can handle, make a three.
But George Hill's not a starter, is he?
No, he would come off the bench, but he'd give them a lot better depth. Look at their bench now and tell me who you can count on. You semi can count on Shake, but not really. You know, like, he's okay. He'll help you. You can't count on Korkmaz. You can't count on Mike Scott anymore. Dwight Howard had a big game last night, but those are not going to come frequently.
Yeah, Danny Green didn't even play in overtime last night.
No, because he became a liability. They needed to catch up. They needed some points. They needed to rush up the tempo.
Well, to make a serious run, I think they're going to need somebody who can
I agree with you. They're going to have to add a good piece, not just a... Like, they can't add a Bellinelli.
Right.
They need somebody better than that caliber of player.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the groupings now. There's two players. the Pelicans that a lot of people are talking about. It's Ball and Josh Hart. Now, I don't know what it would take. It would be picks, and because Ball's still young and is still trending upwards. Now, the question is, what does New Orleans want to do getting rid of him? Is it just building around Zion?
Lonzo Ball can handle. He's not going to make many shots for you.
He's shooting better this year.
Josh Hart's not going to make many shots for you either, to be honest with you. He's a nice player, play hard. I don't think that's enough. All right, let's go Curtis Pottstown. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to give my two cents on the Odubel situation.
Mm-hmm.
But before I did, I want to give a little background. I'm only 22 right now, but when I was a child, I was in a domestic violence kind of situation where the victim was my mom.
Yeah.
And talking to the abuser, it's almost like they felt no remorse and that they were kind of justified in their actions.
Yeah.
And I want to make it clear that those are the people that don't deserve a second chance. And that I don't see that with Odubel. But I do think that the Phillies' response to it was kind of weak. I think even when Joe was talking about it today, it just wasn't assertive enough. And I think
what did Girardi have to say about it?
He was just talking about how he came into camp in the best shape of his life and how he takes that as a sign that he wants to improve and change. But I do think that like when you're dealing with that and you're talking about it, I think that you have to kind of let the fans know, you have to let the victim and the abuser know that if you're not willing to change and if you're not willing to learn, then you're out of here.
Well, listen, he may be willing to be all that and change. He would need to do that somewhere else. That's all I'm saying. It's just a bad look.
Yeah, and it's not like he's a superstar player, so I do understand that. But I do think it could be a kind of blessing in disguise that if we can turn an abuser into like a productive member of society, I think that will go such a long way.
So it would be like almost a benefit to the Phillies organization, is what you're saying, if they could do that.
Well, honestly, even for society, almost, because, like I said, there are some people who are just not remorseful.
Yeah, but why does it have to be here?
Oh, it doesn't.
That's my problem. I mean, everything you say is right. If he wants to get his life back in gear, he's able to play baseball, somebody gives him another opportunity, whatever. I'm judging the situation here and how it looks, and it doesn't look good to me. And I'm sorry, it just doesn't. BJ in Lansdale, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. BJ.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, BJ?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Drupal thing, too. Just because, I mean, I just feel it's like, you know, like, I didn't even know this whole thing was going on, you know, until I started listening to you. So,
you don't remember this happening 2 years ago?
No, I had no idea.
Wow. So I don't know what to tell you, bro. It was a big news story.
Right. Well, of course. And so when I heard, I thought he got hurt when he was out. Because I remember going to the stadium 3 years ago, and all the only hitters they had were Hoskins, Mikel Franco, and Herrera. So, you know, me and my son would watch the Herrera. We loved them. So for this to be happening and, like, just finding out about it, I mean, it's just hard, you know. It really is hard to go, you know. I mean, because as a diehard Philly fan, I just want to automatically forgive.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, let me ask you this, because it's a dilemma that most people go through. Is being a diehard Philly fan greater than the moralistic viewpoint here? Like, are you saying that, like, because what you're doing then would be reducing domestic violence, and it's lesser in importance to you than the Phillies baseball team to have one player of 25?
Nah, I hear you. I mean, when you put it that way, of course, you know, you don't, you know, but again, we're the fans. Like, you were saying, it's like the fans shouldn't have to be the ones to determine it. So,
yeah, that's why the Phillies should have determined it for you.
Right. It looks like they have. It looks like they're going with them.
Well, obviously, I was thinking the other way. They should handle it the other way for you, because now they're putting you in a tough spot, because now you're seeing, oh, my God, he's still a good player. He could help us. And that's not what you should be seeing. They're forcing you to see it that way. That's why it was their responsibility to take it out of your hands.
Right.
All right. I don't know how he didn't know that had happened a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it clear as day. I remember the court case. I remember the reading the police report and all of it.
We have to be more aware of things, I think. All right, 610-622-0975. Here's Sly in West Philly joining us. What's up, Sly?
Mike, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's going on? Mike, I a couple things I wanted to talk about that I tried to get on yesterday. I wanted to talk about one to do with the Sixers, the other to do with music.
Mm-hmm.
First, the Sixers, because y'all was talking about what you would give up or have to give up, like, say, Maxey or whatever to get Kyle Lowry.
Right.
It's like, you make that deal in a heartbeat. Here's the thing people don't realize. Because I think we're a slave to the underdog mentality sometimes. When you look at that Sixers team, if you get a guy like Lowry, now you're like the favorite. The thing about it is you have to want to be the best. I think we like being the underdog and all that, but people don't realize the last time the Sixers won the championship, the Sixers were clearly the best team in the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one thing to be a contender, and it's another thing to be a favorite. It's like sometimes it's good to be Apollo Creed. You don't always have to be Rocky, man.
Yeah.
You want to be the guy that's the most talented, that even at your worst, you can beat a lot of the people that's out there. I think that's when you see a guy like Embiid, you don't waste this opportunity. You got to go for it. Why you got a bunch of young horses that's going to keep you in a running for the next 5 to 6 to 7 years.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he's going to do it. I mean, Sly, listen, the guy's a pretty smooth operator. And I don't think he looks at this team and says we're good enough.
No, I think he's going to go for it, too. I think he's going to be close to the deadline. But that's my thing. I don't think... You don't worry about a guy that might have potential to do something later. You got to get a guy that's a veteran, because you got a veteran team that's ready to win and contend right now. You want to be like the Warriors were, like, okay, every year you know you're expecting to be in the finals or the conference finals every year. So that's my whole thing. You don't worry about the potential of a kid when you got a team.
I totally agree with you. Listen, I like Maxey a little bit too, but he's falling out of
the rotation.
And to me, you're going to be able to find another Maxey.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. I believe so. And if you got management that's good scouters and stuff like that, you'll get a guy comparable to that.
Yeah.
If you got to give him up. Now, my music thing, because y'all was talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
I have one of these little guilty pleasure things. I love the musical score.
Yeah.
I'm such a big fan of that.
Uh-huh.
Certain parts in the movie, like my favorite is probably Shawshank and Gladiator and Braveheart.
Yeah.
You know, Castaway.
Uh-huh.
Even if the movie isn't really that good.
Yeah,
I like it. It's like Meet Joe Black or Road to Perdition. I ain't like the movie, but the musical score is...
I got a great example of that, because I feel the same way. I actually had the soundtrack from The Crow. That movie?
Yeah, I remember The Crow.
Crow had a great soundtrack.
And when you see that it's just certain parts in the movie that make you gravitate to the film.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, all right, I'm Sly. A for
Thanks,
that,
buddy. Man. Yeah, Brandon Lee. And The Crow. See The Crow?
I remember The Crow.
I did not see The Crow.
What year was that? Like 90?
The 90s.
96?
Great soundtrack.
Yeah. 94.
I'll have to find the tunes.
Oh, wow.
Also, something just like alerted me. You know how many Villanova basketball players are currently getting a professional paycheck? Not necessarily in the NBA. There are 8 of them in the NBA right now.
Wow.
Okay.
There are 19 players throughout the world getting paychecks in professional basketball.
That's awesome.
Wow.
How many can you name, Judas? Can you name, first of all, can you name the eight?
In the NBA?
In the NBA.
Josh Hart.
All right, you can do it now. Hold on to that thought.
Okay.
We'll go, all these names are fantastic. Mike Missinelli Show, quick break, and back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, time for final Twitter poll numbers on the Mike Missinelli Show. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're expecting more snow, we might get it in March. March comes in like a lion, by the way. You can save your back with a snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doylestown. And they have also got parts and full-service repair shop. If your snowblower has seen better days, visit them in person or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie, the final numbers.
Alrighty, Mike, over 900 votes on this one today. Are the Sixers championship contenders as currently constructed? 54% say yes, 46% say no.
Alrighty, by the way, I just looked at the Crow's soundtrack.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Nine Inch Nails, The Cure, Stone Temple Pilots, Rage Against the Machine, The Jesus and Mary Chain, Violent Femmes, and then for Jason Mertedis, the Henry Rollins Band and Pantera.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Never I mean, that's solid.
The Crow, Andrew, was a superhero movie.
Oh, is that right?
But it was like dark and edgy.
Yeah, Bruce Lee's son, Brandon Lee.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Came back from the dead. He and his fiance were, she was raped and murdered. He was murdered. And he comes back and he's revived. And he comes back to avenge the crime. Ironically.
Yeah, this is insane.
He died during the filming of the movie.
Really?
At the end of the filming of the movie, when a co-star had a prop gun, and it was a dummy bullet that was left in the chamber, and fooling around, he shot the prop gun and went right and killed Brandon Lee. Right,
oh my God, brain. Really?
Yes.
Yeah, it was creepy. Yes. I remember that.
Yeah, it was very
like
strange.
Eerie.
And they had to have a stunt double like film a couple of the late scenes.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, it was weird. All right, so you got the Villanova dudes?
I got five right now. I had to take care of some stuff engineer-wise during the break.
Okay.
So I had time. The ones that come to my mind in the NBA right now, Josh Hart.
That's one.
Ryan Arcidiacchio.
That's two.
Dante DiVincenzo.
That's three.
Eric Paschal.
That's four.
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
And then I don't think he's in the NBA. I think he's playing abroad. Chris Jenkins is abroad, I believe.
No, he's no longer playing. He's like, he gained a little weight.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's no longer in basketball.
Oh, okay.
You forgot. How dare you? Devon Givens, the great Devon Givens.
Oh, Bridges.
His cousin, Mikal Bridges. So I rank it in order as far as a play. So Kyle Lowry's one.
Oh, yeah.
Bridges is two. DiVincenzo's three. Josh Hart's four. Eric Paschal's five.
He's a good ball player, though. Yeah. He's gonna have a nice career.
Jalen Brunson, six. Spellman.
Amari seven. Spellman,
Amari,
yeah.
Amari Spellman, seven, and Ryan Arcidiacono. However, players playing abroad, earning paychecks abroad, which is always good.
Yeah.
Isaiah Armwood is in Romania. James Bell is in Italy. Sadiq Bey, we missed Sadiq Bey. That's nine. Sadiq Bey's in the NBA.
Yes, he is.
That's nine. Phil Booth.
He had a big night like a week ago.
Yes, he did. He's playing for the Pistons. Phil Booth's in the G League.
Okay.
Dylan Ennis is in Spain. He was a guard. Darren Hilliard is in Moscow. Javon Pinkston is in Czechoslovakia. Antonio Pena is in some Latino America's league. Scotty Reynolds is in Croatia. And Mouf Yaru is in France.
All right.
Nice.
How about that?
Yeah,
that's
man.
Awesome.
That's being nice. Able to keep on playing, that's awesome.
There you go. Andrew in Phoenixville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good afternoon. How are you?
What's up, Andrew?
Good. So thanks for taking my call. I'll make it quick. So last night's game was absolutely awesome to watch. Everybody did so well on that game. And just very pleased with how well Ben Simmons played last night. He was driving the hoop and really just the player that I always wanted him to be, mm-hmm. he did last night. So my question is this. Obviously, with Utah, they are just so good in every aspect of the game. Even off the bench, it seems like they are very good. Now, obviously, you just said a few minutes ago that our bench players aren't that great coming off the bench. That's why they didn't play in overtime.
Yeah,
I'm wondering, with last night's game being so heavily watched, I'm sure, by the NBA, did we point out any weaknesses of Utah for the West, or did Utah, obviously we have weaknesses for the East with our bench, but did we point out any weaknesses of Utah? Because I don't see any weaknesses Utah has, but obviously we have some weaknesses that we have to attend to, obviously, as you said, getting a pickup player.
Utah's a nice team. They're very well coached, and last night they were exposed because their center can't guard unless he's around the rim. So that was exposed if they ever play them. I mean, Embiid will destroy him. But they've got 3-point shooters. They made 21 last night. So as long as you can make 3-point shooters, you're going to be a good team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were just shooting over us like it was no one's. I think they said in the stat that they made 25.
They made 21.
21, and we attempted 25.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to be a team that makes 21 threes, which makes that game more impressive for the Sixers last night.
Yes, so that spells, I guess, a certain doom for us in the East, because then that shows weaknesses that the Nets were able to see. Who else? You know, Boston. Yeah,
but the Nets have weaknesses also. I don't think Boston is that much of a challenge. And we'll see what the Nets are. I mean, Durant hasn't played. I don't know what his status is going to be. Harden had another triple-double last night. They win a lot of games. Can they beat the Nets four times? That's the question. Right now, I think that they're at least one player short from beating the Nets in four games in the playoffs. Now, the other thing about Utah last night was the last game of road trip going into an All-Star break. Now, they seemed to have plenty of energy early. They controlled the game, but this was their fourth straight game on the road, and they played Monday in New Orleans. So maybe at the end, maybe that's what affected them in overtime, because they certainly didn't. They weren't on the gas in overtime. Dave in Avalon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Good afternoon, Mike.
What's up, Dave?
Get off this Villanova thing, because Gonzaga has 17 guys making money, you know, worldwide, 5 in the NBA.
Well, the Villanova does better than that. They have 19 making money and 9 in the NBA.
I didn't know your numbers, but
I just mentioned them all.
Kyle Lowry, he went to my high school. We do need him.
Okay.
And then, number 3, Odubel Herrera.
Uh-huh.
The Philadelphia fans, right, they want him to play. But you know what? They forgot that they wanted Lindros, who consorted with Joey Skinny Merlini, you know, and he, you know, was accused of many more serious crimes, you know, and they still wanted him. You know, what are you going to do?
Who was accused of many serious crimes?
Joey Skinny Merlino.
What does that have to do
with... South Philly mobster who consorted with Lindros many, many times. Often spotted down in...
Yeah, it wasn't... I get it. I was in on that story when it happened. What does that have to do with this, though? Like, what was the connection to Odubel Herrera?
That will take anyone... is basically, I think he was saying.
What?
Lindros didn't do, he didn't do any infractions.
He didn't do anything?
Made a bad choice of hanging out in a nightclub with an unsavory guy.
Yeah, but that's not against the law.
If
you have friends who
not an infraction.
Have, you know,
yeah,
questionable.
It wasn't wise of him, but it wasn't an infraction or a crime or, you know.
To make him a bad... person.
All right, that's good. Let's go to Fernandez in Camden. Fernandez, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Mike? How you doing, man? Good afternoon, sir.
How you doing?
Oh, good, man. It's a pleasure to talk to you. First time I'm talking to you, man. But I got to say, it's about the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, they're balling. They're the number one in the Eastern Conference. It's really impressive. Obviously, with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, those guys are doing their thing. Doc Rivers, who obviously won a championship with the Celtics, he's improving himself, you know, as the right guy for the Sixers. The Sixers, can they be right up there with the Brooklyn Nets or the Milwaukee Bucks? So my question is, can the Philadelphia 76ers can be any of those teams in the Eastern Conference? And if so, can the Sixers be a threat and possible being a championship team to the NBA Finals?
Yes. Yes, they can. I believe they're going to get better. I believe they're going to be improved by at least one player. I believe that they could go head-to-head in a series. Now, depending on who that player is, I'd be able to tell whether I think that they would be favored in a series against the Bucks or the Nets. But, yeah, they're right in the mix.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's absolutely definitely fun to watch. And Joel Embiid, because the last couple of years I've been impressed with Embiid. Obviously, he's trying to improve his three-point shooting, but he's getting down in the post. I mean, even last night, that game against the Utah Jazz, that was a terrific. And the fact that he scored 40 points, that was fantastic. Because I'm a fan of Ben Simmons, but I'm also a fan of Joel Embiid. You know, I think there was even a talk one time about people that, you know, that those guys could have been on the trading block. And I said, well, those are the best two players for the Philadelphia 76ers. You got to keep those guys.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. There are people that even coming into this year said they couldn't play together. But I think maturity has taken that whole thing away. He has to improve his three-point shots. He made two last night, and they were too clutch, three-point shot. I have him absolutely no problem with him shooting a three-pointer. None. Coming up, Sound Off, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
You gotta be faking me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Let's get going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705. That's the line to call in on if you got something to say on Sound Off. And why would you call in? Just call in. Leave a message. You got something to say. Publish your thought, and you may make it to the big show called Sound Off. Andrew, go ahead.
So you mean to tell me that two-time Defensive Player of the Year, the first ever $200 million center, Rudy Gobert, allowed Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid to drop 40 points on him in back-to-back games? You talk about overrated and a stiff. Come on now.
I totally agree with you that he's an overrated defensive player, and everybody gets caught in this. He's a great defensive player because he can block some shots. You know, if I was 7'1" and had a long wingspan and I stayed near the basket all the time, I could block some shots. Would I be considered a great defensive player? Could he chase and beat around last night? Don't think so.
Donovan Mitchell last night, I'm trying to understand. He starts off his little rant after the game about saying that they don't complain about the referees, even though you watch them complain all game about every call, whether it went for him or went against them. And then he says, well, the Sixers won, but we won. I think we won. It's like you spent time saying that you don't complain about the referees, and then all you did was complain about the referees.
He was butthurt because he knew that he took 34 shots and didn't make enough of those 34 shots, so he had to blame it on somebody.
Hey, Phillies, I'll make this real simple. Odubel Herrera is not here by the time the regular season starts, or I'm not going to root for you. I don't put up with people who are domestic abusers and commit domestic violence, and I do not ever put up with them, even if it's on a team I root for.
You know, unfortunately, your message is probably not going to translate to others, because if he has a great spring and he makes the team, and they're going to forget all about it.
Very good win for the Sixers. They found a way to rally back from a team consistently draining three after three. The identity of this team is trending on defense, and I will take that any day. We've got Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, and a snubbed All-Star on our team. I believe we are one good piece away from great things.
Oh, I agree with you. One piece. That's a very important thing. It's coming up. It's going to come up soon. Let's see what they make a move.
I'll be married 30 years in April. So you let me know where and when I got to show up for the big snit for 100 mil. I figure even if it costs me 50 mil to get it put back where I need it, I got 50 mil.
100 mil for that. And like I said earlier, I think I might have to go... get me some gauze and duct tape, we're good with the 100 mil.
Bob, won't see him no more.
I'm selling off about that goof who said, bring him back because it's a business. Business is making money for the Phillies at the front gate. The Phillies are going to lose at the front gate if they bring Herrera back, because I believe it's really going to hurt the gate because the women aren't going to show up.
I don't think it will, unfortunately. So... I hope it does. I hope it has that kind of chilling effect. My sense is there'll be a smattering of protests, and then everybody will go and enjoy their summer baseball.
We all know Odubel Herrera is a morally bankrupt piece of trash, but he's nothing but a triple-A ball player at best. Are the Phillies that strapped for outfield talent? Give me a break.
Yeah, well, that's the way I look at it. So I wouldn't have counted on him at all. And because I wouldn't have counted on him, if I had to acquire another player to play center field, I would have done that.
My issue here is that the people who looked up and cheered Brett Myers in 08 are the same people who won't give Odubel a second chance. Looks like a double standard.
Not for me. I washed my hands of Brett Myers way back in the day when that happened, and I'm doing the same now. Buzz it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Beef.
I don't like them.
What is
it?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-775-9705. And listen tomorrow at 545 to see if your sound off gets on.
Alrighty, that was sound off. And,
Oh my god.
Cake. Have some cake and eat it too. Stay tuned to Cousins Corner. Is up next. He's live from Parks. He'll lead you right into Flyers hockey on 97.5 The Fanatic Night. Fly, I like him. Flyers win tonight at Pittsburgh on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Stay tuned for the warm-up. That'll lead you right into Flyers pregame and the game. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe out there. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.